जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिपादाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नतिलीला प्रविष्ट विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामि शुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले शिवदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणि प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाघय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतम् परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पदान सहगन ललितां श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओं विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने श्री वर्षभानवी देवी दैताया कृपाब्दये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञानम दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्री रूपानुग भक्तिदा श्री गौरकरुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्री मूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धाभ सिद्धांत द्वंद्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलंबर सांबोधे पदांबुजाय दे नमः नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौरशक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय दे गौराविर्भव भूमिस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जन प्रियाः वैष्णवा सार्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः जगल्पदरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्रियं हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते जयदां सुरगौपाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्दरत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ राधा श्रील गोविंद देवौ प्रेष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन् रासरसारम्भी वंशी वटतटस्थिता കർഷൻ വേണു സ്വനേർ ഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തുനാഹ തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം ഇദം ത്വദേ ഗുഹ്യതമം പ്രവക്ഷ്യാമ്യനസൂയവേ ജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞാനസഹിതം യജ്ഞാത്വാ മോക്ഷ്യസേ അശുഭാത് രാജവിദ്യാ രാജഗുഹ്യം പവിത്രം ഇദമുത്തമം പ്രത്യക്ഷവഗമം ധർമ്മ്യം സുസുഖം കർത്തും അവ്യയം അശ്രദ്ധദാനപുരുഷ ധർമ്മസ്യാസ്യ പരന്തവ അപ്രാപ്യമാം നിവർത്തന്തേ മൃത്യു സംസാരവർത്മനി മയതതമിദം സർവം ജഗദ് അവ്യക്തമൂർത്തിന മത്സ്ഥാനി സർവഭൂതാനി ന ചാഹം തേഷു അവസ്ഥിതാഹ. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ലാസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് വി ഹാവ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ, വേർ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ബീൻ സേയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് വാട്ട് വി ആർ looking at now, which is the fourth and the fifth one, generally it is difficult to bring it into the realm of mind, because Krishna is saying here that jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani na chaham teshu avasthidaha. Although Krishna says I am present in everything, and although everything is present in me, I am not there in everything. That is that statement, isn't it? Krishna is saying, Mahetadam idam sarvam jagad avyaktam utina matstani sarvabhutani na chaham teshu avastida. In other words, although I am present in everything, and everything is present in me, I am not present in everything, anything. Na chaham teshu avastida. Here is where that clarity is required to understand this. Main thing is that once you have woken up to the platform of the soul, only after that spiritual life begins. Simply staying in the bodily level and discussing spirit is no use, is there? Always identifying with the body. Bodily level means identification with the body. Always identifying with the body and trying to talking spiritual life is no good, because it's not make any sense. That's why Krishna is saying here that when we have woken up to that platform of spirit soul, when you realize that you have woken up to the platform of the soul, then Krishna is saying you will know he is present in everything. Only if you are, when you have woken up, when you have realized it. That's why Krishna is saying, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. That avyakta murti, soul, is present in everything. And Mayatadam idam sarvam, Krishna is saying, jagad. The whole of jagad creation is filled with that avyakta murtinam. That is present, my presence is there, Krishna is saying. And then you will know it. And you will also know at that time that all those things are present in the soul. With soul is present in everything. And you will also notice that everything is working or everything is manifesting only due to the presence of the soul. That is what they are saying, that it is soul is present in everything, Everything is present in the soul. Without, in the absence of the soul, they don't exist. Why? Because awareness is not there. Is it not? Only when the awareness is there that you experience the presence of so many other objects in this world. So that is that verse, very tricky verse it is. Because we don't remember that the soul is present in everything. We don't take into account the presence of the soul. Simply through the eyes we are looking at objects and making judgment about it. So when Krishna is saying this, mayatadam idam sarvam, everything is present, I am present in everything. And because Krishna says here that only when this has woken up inside, as the soul has woken up. Remember last time we discussed this in length. We mentioned about the difference between perception and awareness. Perception is seeing what you see through the eyes. Awareness is completely different. It is experience of the soul from the consciousness it's coming from. So tada tada, Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavatam also. Yadha yadha alma parimarjade so malpunya ghada shravanabhidhanehi tada tada pasyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anchanasam prayuktam. That means tada tada pasyadi, when we get purified inside and when we know yadha yadha alma parimarjade so malpunya ghada shravanabhidhanehi, when we hear from Krishna about Krishna, what Krishna has spoken, all these things, if we continuously hear, that thing will wake up inside. And then what will happen? Tatha, tatha pashyati vastu sushmam. That sushma vastu, atma, soul, inside, will be experienced in the form of awareness. Awareness will be the symptom of that consciousness. At the moment, we are not aware of the symptom of the consciousness. We are completely absorbed in the body and the mind. Isn't it? So, and Krishna says here, that this realization is the most amazing thing. That realization, when that happens. And Krishna says that he is present in everything. Mayatadam idam sarvam. Krishna is present there. In other words, at that time, actually, you are not seeing Krishna in a particular form. That is not what you are experiencing at that time. Because everything is Krishna at that point. Everything is Krishna. So, so when we know that those who have realized through the process of knowledge, they will notice this, that everything is, it is Krishna who is present in everything. That realization will come. That's what that saying. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Avyakta murtina means, and that is what that means. Is not, you are not seeing as a form there, avyakta murtina. Indirectly, you are knowing Krishna's presence there. Indirectly. Not directly as Krishna is. You won't see everyone as Krishna's form. That's not what it is meant. That's not what's not going to happen. That will not happen. What will happen is, Jagat Avyakta Murtina. Other Avyakta Murti, Avyakta Bhav or Avyakta form, unmanifested form. But you will know that the soul who is present in everything is Krishna. That realization will come inside. That is how we understand Krishna. Not simply only be fixed on the form and thinking that everything should come to the form. That's not going to happen. What will happen is that once the soul has woken up inside, immediately you'll recognize that the presence of the soul in all objects, everything in this creation. So the whole jagat, which is also where Krishna is present, but you will experience Krishna there as Avyakta Murtinam. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Krishna says there, isn't it? So in other words, that prapancham means creation, isn't it? Creation is what? Namam and rupam. That's what creation means. Name and form, is it not? From unmanifested thing, this came different forms and different names. Under different names, different forms. That is what's called creation. Creation is that has come out from that unmanifested. So, this manifested form, which has got a name and form, that's how you know the manifested ones, which has got the name and form. So, how would we know that? Because this name and form, every object, it is present there only because behind that, there is that Satchidanandam, Satta Chittanandam, Krishna, behind it. That is how we know it. That when we when our attention falls on an object, how do we recognize that object? Awareness is behind it, isn't it? That awareness is recognizing it. How? Because Krishna is present there. Krishna is that awareness. It's the awareness, Krishna who is present, is making aware of an object. Any object, this mic or this table or a chair, whatever it may be, we become aware of that due to Krishna's presence. But we don't know at the moment that. We're thinking it's happening automatically, isn't it? It doesn't happen automatically. We see every object, recognition comes due to Krishna's presence inside us. That is why we are seeing the object and become aware of the object. This awareness is such an important thing. That is Krishna. Krishna is an awareness. So it says here that this awareness is everywhere. Awareness spreads everywhere. And we'll know that, but we, at the moment, we don't know it's Krishna is behind it, that awareness in us. But when this happens, self-realization happens, you will know that the awareness from inside has spread into all the living, all the objects in the world, and will become aware of their Krishna's presence in them. Maya tadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. This verse is an important verse. These next two verses, they are to be experienced after self-realization, not before that. To be experienced and to be understood, accepted. Up to that time, it's simply theoretical. Simply theoretical. So, first thing is, prior to all these things, to know who I am. That's the first thing. Only after that, all other things will happen. This is why self-realization is given so much importance. Till you know who you are, you can't know anything else. God and other things are secondary things. First, you have to know who we are. Once we know that, then you will know that it is the same awareness what is in me is present in everything else also. That awareness will come. That means there is nothing separated from that one truth which is present in everyone. And as Thayi Manavar said, that there is no place to move further, because when he has come to that state, that is what will happen to him. Such a person, one who has reached that state, he doesn't require any more sadhana after that. Sadhana is all finished. Or that person who experiences that in the day and night, all the times, while sleeping, closing the eyes, opens his eyes, it doesn't matter, always in that samadhi state. That is in that samadhi state. Because his own experiences, he realizing this, that separated from himself, nothing exists in this creation. Separated from the soul. Separated from himself, nothing else exists. Everything is connected with the soul inside. Everything is connected with the soul inside. So, that is what we saw in the Bhagavadam, that Prahlada says this, isn't it? Prahlada mentions this, that he was always in that state. Always in that state. And all the great realized souls are also in the same state. Prahlada was always in that state. That's why it was very difficult for Shanda and Amarka, the teachers, to change that. It was not possible for them to change it. Because Shanda and Amarka was like us, who was seeing everything separate, separate, separate. For Prahlada, nothing was separate, only one thing, the soul. Nothing separated from that. So, Krishna says here, once we have faith in these words, that's the most important thing. We have to accept it. That is the question. And if it happens there, Krishna says, once you have expanded yourself from inside, in that way, in other words, awareness has become very developed inside, then at that time, Krishna says, and as soon as I say to you, I am present everywhere. That is the last time when the spiritual master says to the disciple that you are present in everything. What you are looking for, that truth is present inside you. And when he hears that and he sees the presence inside him, outside him, everything the same thing. That is that point. It is a direct process at that time. Krishna is saying here, Maya tadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. And what is required beyond than that? Beyond that, actually to come to this experience, Maya tadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. In order that to happen, we need to have that Shraddha first. And that Shraddha has to develop into Bhakti. Only at that point this realization will come. It cannot happen before that. So you can see Bhakti is the key behind it. It's the key behind it. And as soon as we have developed that standard of Bhakti, as soon as you hear these words, immediately you will have the experience. That's the point. Once we have developed that Shraddha and the Bhakti inside, as soon as Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam, you don't have to anymore wait for the mind or intelligence to take it. Mind and intelligence has nothing to do with it, actually. It's purely experience it is. Only in an experience level you can understand these words, this statement. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. All other things you can understand probably through the mind and intelligence. But this particular verse, especially these two first two lines, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam, it has to be only understood through the realization or experience level. And that will only happen, as Krishna said in the last verse, Ashraddhadana Purusha. He mentions there, isn't it? Ashraddhadana Purusha. Dharmasyasya parantava aprapyamam nivartande mrityu samsaravartmani. So, that if the Shraddha hasn't developed, it is not possible. It's not possible. You can go on doing so many things in this world, it will not happen. Till that Shraddha develops inside. Ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parantava. We have seen that verse in detail, isn't it? So, Shraddha. Shraddha is the key. And that Shraddha, we saw what Shraddha means, isn't it? Shraddha has to develop into Bhakti. When Shraddha becomes very good, very intense, then it turns into Bhakti. This is the same Shraddha that becomes Bhakti at the later stage. So here, as soon as you hear, Krishna says here, then the next statement is, Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avasthida. The second part of that verse. First part is Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. That is the first part. Then second part is Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avasthida. Krishna is saying here, Matstani sarva bhutani. In other words, all living entities are in me. What does that mean? All living entities are in me. Because without my presence, no material body in whichever form can exist. No material body can exist without my presence in them. When Krishna is saying all these things, he is speaking purely as the soul of everyone. Not based on I am the person. No. He is speaking purely as the soul of everybody, Paramatma. That in that concept, in that situation. So, in other words, Krishna says, all living entities are in me. I am the seat of all the living entities. So, here, who is Krishna here? Krishna is the soul of everyone. It is in that status or in that platform, Krishna is presenting this to us. So, how do we experience this creation? We experience the creation because of awareness, isn't it? We all have the awareness inside. It is through the awareness we are experiencing this creation. Is it not? Through the awareness we are experiencing it. Suppose that means that awareness is Krishna. So if Krishna withdraws that awareness in us, we won't experience the creation. We are very concerned about where the planets are, how many planets are, how far they are and all that, isn't it? This has no meaning actually from the point of view of Vedantam. Vedantam gives importance. Who is experiencing? That is the most important question. It is no point in trying to understand this creation through the mind and intelligence. That won't get anywhere. It's so vast and so huge that we cannot even perceive many things in this creation. We discussed last Sunday, God is difficult to understand. World is difficult to understand. What to talk about? Our body is also difficult to understand. This is our situation here. The only thing Krishna is saying, hold on to that awareness. Through that awareness, you have to realize the truth. That is the vehicle for that. The awareness in everybody is the vehicle for realizing the truth. That is what Krishna is saying this. That matstani sarvabhudani nachaham teshu avastida. So that awareness is that is the one which gives life to the whole creation. Is it not? If because of the awareness only, it gives life to the whole creation. Because why? When the awareness is there, we recognize everything. These things exist. The awareness is not there, nothing exists at that point. So, if you want to know any object, when you see that it is existing, then that means there must be someone who is seeing it, isn't it? Suppose I see this mic and I say that the mic is existing. To know that it is existing, in me, there is, in this body, there is someone who has that awareness of its existence, isn't it? If I am not there, mic doesn't exist for me. So, coming back to that person who has the awareness, he is the most critical factor, not the object. Object is not important. Subject is important. Subject is important. So, because the awareness of this existence of this is in me. It is in me, the awareness of its existence. So, if I am not there, the mind doesn't exist. Is it not? But unfortunately, what has happened to most of us is, we condition in one particular way to think all the time, object is important. As though I am permanent. I am not. I am permanent in one level, but no, because we are used to this seeing through the eyes and judging the form and name all the time, name and form all the time. Our awareness, we completely ignore about this. We simply sue as our body through the senses, we perceive something. So that perception alone is not the truth. It's the awareness that the impact that it is producing in me, that is what is more important. So similarly, because of my presence only, my awareness only, all other living entities also exist in this creation. Otherwise, they don't exist here. So, so even the sky, what to talk about smaller, forget about the small objects. These are smaller objects. But the vast sky is so vast. And even that sky, I can be aware of only if I am there, isn't it? My awareness is there. Only when I am aware of the sky, which is very vast. So even the space, it is not possible to know till I am there, till my awareness is there. It's only, that's why awareness is so important in spiritual life. Awareness is so important. As I said, it is that vehicle through which you have to get to the truth. Through that, because this is the only thing what Krishna has given to us permanently, never separated from us, all time. Even after leaving the body, that follows with us. The awareness follows with us. I'm moving to another body, or I'm going to heavenly planets, or I'm going to hellish planets. Doesn't matter, but I am still remain with us. Every one of us. I am. I'm always there, isn't it? So, This is a very subtle topic, because even time space, where is time and space? Why do we say time and space is not real? Because as soon as you can see that if I have no awareness, where is time, where is space? That's how much time and space is important. Only due to the presence of my awareness, I am existing, my awareness, I am. Ahamasmi, ahamasmi. Because of that, time and space has come into this world. Time and space has come. So, if you give attention to that awareness, then at the existence or awareness, that is, Krishna is saying, Sachit Prakasham. Satta, Chitta, Anandam, that is. That awareness nature is Satta, Chitta, and Anandam. So, once that has woken up in a person, and then we will see that it is in that awareness, our body, mind, ego, everything is in that awareness only. Awareness is that substratum, or what they call as the basis. Awareness is the basis. Body exists because awareness is there. False ego is there, awareness is there. If there is no awareness, there is no false ego. If there is no awareness, there is no body. If there is no awareness, there is no mind. Awareness is the key behind everything. Not only that, whole creation also, and all the names, forms, everything is in this awareness. Awareness is the basis of everything. So, when we touch that awareness, sometimes people have this question, oh, is it not good enough if I just practice bhakti? Is that not good enough if I practice bhakti? Well, the correct answer to that question is that these two things complement each other. Which one? Atma Vijaram, which is this awareness, plus surrender. Bhakti means actually surrender, not other things. If you do Atma Vijaram properly, in due course you will surrender. That is how it will happen. If you do Atma Vijaram properly, Atma Vijaram is necessary. Otherwise, there is no spiritual life. Simply like a machine to live in this world, all the time programmed way, is no good. Then Krishna is saying this awareness has been given to us in order to hold on to that and to open up that new world of spiritual life. So, with the help of this awareness, when we become more absorbed in that, automatically, we will become more surrender to Krishna. Surrender will happen. Sharanagati. So, Sharanagati and Atma Vijaram, or in other words, surrender and this self-inquiry go side by side. Deeper the self-inquiry, the deeper will be the surrender. Too much on the surface of the self-inquiry, there will be very little surrender. We are thinking it will happen automatically. It won't. It won't. Self-inquiry progresses, self-realization, or in other words, inquiry of the self progresses, the surrender will become deeper because it is bound to happen. It's such a powerful force that is, this inquiry of the self is a powerful force. That's why that when that happens, when Sharanagati happens, what happens at that time, the realization is that except Krishna, nothing else exists. Except Krishna, nothing else exists in this creation. So, at that point, because surrender is so good due to self-inquiry, the surrender has gone to so deeper level, there is no false ego anymore in a person. He doesn't have any more false ego. That's a straight result from that. Surrender means what? False ego has gone away completely. So, then once that happens, there is no division between Krishna and us. There is no division anymore. What creates the division between Krishna and us? This false ego. False ego creates the division. It separates us from Krishna. The false ego. I am. Which is a separation from Krishna. Isn't it? That's what creates that division. The ahankaram in me. When I wake up in the morning, first thing the ahankaram wakes up and then says to me, I am a separate independent entity. I got my own things to do. And we have completely broken away from Krishna like that. Completely gone away from Krishna. And the more the ahankaram builds up inside, we go far away from Krishna. We go far away from Krishna. When the ahankaram completely goes away, we become very close to Krishna. We get very close to Krishna. So, division. Ahankaram creates this division between me and Krishna. Between me and Krishna. So, once this screw has loosened up of this ahankaram or false ego inside, then all what exists for afterwards is only Krishna. Only Krishna exists afterwards. That is how Krishna got the name Shesha. Have you heard the word Shesha? We call Adi Shesha, isn't it? Krishna has got a name called Shesha. This word Shesha came into Krishna because of this relationship. How Shesha means, after all, if everybody's ahankaram goes away completely, who remains then? Only Krishna remains. That is his name. That's how the name Shesha came. One who remains when all false ego has gone. That is how that name came as Shesha. The name Shesha has come like that. These are the important things you should notice in the Bhagavatam. How at certain places Sukadeva Goswami brings these very important points, relationship with Krishna, into the prayers. If you look into the 8th canto in the Bhagavatam, you will see there. 8th canto in the 3rd chapter. Who is praying here is the prayer is from, if you look into that, Gajendra. Gajendra is praying to Krishna. Gajendra is praying to Krishna. Gajendra Sudhi, 3rd chapter. The whole chapter with so many verses, when so many verses goes on, and if you go to verse 24, 3rd chapter, verse 24.
Nsavaina devasura martya tiryam na stri na shando na puman na jantu nayam guna karma na sanna chasan nisheda shesho jayadada shesha.
That's that verse, yeah.
Nsavaina devasura martya tiryam na stri na shando na puman na jantu nayam guna karma na sanna chasan nisheda shesho jayadad asheshaha.
That's important. Nisheda shesho jayadad ashesha. After you have said not this, not this, not this, not this. I'm not this body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. One after the other, you have rejected everything. And what remains? That's Krishna. Because Krishna is a background in which all these things have happened. Body, mind, intelligence, the world, ego, everything. When everything goes away, ahangaram is out of all that, the ahangaram is the most critical thing. False ego. And that false ego completely has gone. Jayadad ashesho. Jayadad ashesha. Nisheda shesho jayadad. That is how that word shesha has come for Krishna. Krishna got that name. Jayadad ashesha. So, here, Nisheda Shesho Jayadada Shesha. Because Gajendra says, not this, not this. After that, what remains? After that, after rejecting everything else, what remains? Asheshaha. So, and that is the truth. And that is the truth. And that truth is perfect, complete in all aspects. Therefore, Krishna is called Shesha. Krishna is called Shesha. We can understand that, isn't it, in some way, because these body, mind, intelligence, this is all called in Vedantam called Adhyasam. Adhyaropam, Adhyasam, two words they use. Adhyasam means they are all superimposed things on me. When I say me, Krishna's present inside that awareness. On that, these things have been put on one after the other. First the body, first the ahangaram. That's the first thing you put on in the morning, ahangaram. And then you start dressing up further with the mind. And then you put the suit on with the body. And on the body, you identify all other things one after the other. Like this, identification goes on throughout the day in one way or the other. This is all called superimposition. Adhyaropam or Adhyasam on the self. On the self. So after fully dressed up means I've got everything. Completely full I am then. And I'm fully dressed up. With the suit on, I'm saying that how do I look? Very good, isn't it? Because I got everything now. I've not lost anything. Krishna is saying that if you take out all those things, what remains is me. That's Krishna's point. Jayadada Shesha. What remains is me. Everything else is you. Your Ahankaram, your false ego and your identity. That's all false. The only reality in the whole thing is Krishna who is present inside. So, Purna Satyam. So, you can reject everything. Suit you can take it off. Body you can lose. Mind you can go. Everything. But that Krishna inside, you can't throw it away. You can't throw it away. So, because he has got everything and he cannot be, you cannot take him on board, you can't reject him either because he is the only one that exists really. So, there is no question of taking him. You can't take it on board or you can't reject it either because he only exists. That's the important thing. You can't take it on board, you can't reject it either because he only is the reality that's the only truth in the whole package in us. So, then, therefore, Upanishad says, Ahayam anubadayam manovachama gocharam. Manovachama gocharam. Through the mind and the words, you cannot experience him. Because mind and words has come much later. First thing, ahankaram has come, then the mind has come, then the words, body has come, then the words have come. Isn't it? So, how do we go back to him again? For one who has realized it, then that's what he is, so, topic is over. One who has realized it, that that's what I am. Nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the intelligence, nothing to do with the ego. And that vastu inside, we have to experience that with Shraddha. Shraddha is the key to come to that awareness. So, once we have experienced that through Shraddha, you will not experience anything after that. You won't experience the body. Because you have touched the core, very core. Once you have touched the core, then you can't have your Shraddha anymore in the body. No more in the mind, no more in the intelligence, no more in the ego. Because you have touched the core, very core of everything. So, you won't see, and then at that point, you will notice that the person who is experiencing it all, you won't find him separately from that. Therefore, that is why in Vedantam and in the Bhagavadam also, the principle is that whether we have understood this or not understood, doesn't matter. Keep hearing. That is the principle. If you keep hearing, it has to wake up one day inside when the Shraddha has woken up sufficiently inside. It is not through the mind you will get there, not through the intelligence you will get there, but simply through the Shravanam process. Parikshit was told by Sukadeva Goswami. So normally what happens? If you say something, you will understand with the mind first, isn't it? You will take it with the mind and the intelligence. And you will start looking, subject it to your mind and intelligence, isn't it? And you will, sometimes something you may, mind will capture. If mind does not capture, then you will leave it. That's the nature, is it not? That's our normal nature. If you get it by the mind, you will take it. If you didn't get it by the mind, or if you didn't have any, mind cannot accommodate it, or mind cannot absorb it, or your intelligence, which means normally what we say, rationality. You feel that it's not rational. If you feel like that, generally the gentleman will leave it there. We'll say, well, it's something I don't understand. They'll say like that, isn't it? So that's a normal system. Normal system is like that. Everybody does that. That if it is not, mind is not responding to what's been spoken, the word mind itself, mayam, from there the word mind has come. Mayam means to measure. We have this nature in us to measure everything and to bring it under our little world. It has to fit in. If it does not fit in, then what do you do immediately? Well, it doesn't suit me, or we'll leave it behind. We'll leave it. We'll reject it in that way. So, so that's why sometimes when we say certain things, we will shake our head as though we have understood it. That is no meaning in Vedantam. If you are shaking the head, it means that you got it in the wrong place. It has gone to the wrong place. If you do shake your head, I'll immediately take it that it has gone to the wrong place. It hasn't gone to the right place. Because that's what happened. That means your mind has gone in there and took it. And then you're feeling happy about it, oh, I got it. That's a sad thing. Never in Vedantam, never we should shake the head. Because shaking the head means that it has gone to the wrong place. It goes to so many places. If it's gone to the mind, you'll shake the head. But if it has gone to the awareness, you won't shake the head. So that's an experience inside. It's an experience inside. So that center where you are, that center which is the mind, that if you go in, you will shake and say, yeah, yeah, it makes sense. You'll say like that. So Vedantam, whoever shakes a head, you have to take it that has not gone in. Everything is opposite. Even when I'm saying that, I'm shaking the head. So, one who has got it properly in the right place, if it has gone to the right center, his head won't shake and his body won't shake either. Nothing will shake. Because how will you get it? How will you get it means when you are keep on hearing this, I'm keep on saying something and you're keep on hearing this. And at some point, you won't be seeing me as a person speaking this, nor you will be hearing this as a person. Person means mind, straight away. You won't see these words, whatever that Krishna has spoken, which I'm trying to explain to my capacity, you won't see this as so it's my way of speaking. You'll take it as Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is Krishna's words. In that way, you will start taking it at some point in time. And similarly, the person who is hearing also doesn't exist. Neither the speaker nor the listener exist. And this process of hearing also goes away. This is called in Vedantam Tripudi. Tripudi means these three things. A speaker, a listener, and the process of hearing. These three things. Three things exist, isn't it? But these three things has to go once for all. And and at that time, you can see for a very short time in the process of hearing. This is Brahmanubhuti, what they call it. You will see in the Bhagavatam all these things spoken. Only thing is, we won't give attention to that. Because we'll look and go into the story. We'll go after the story. And we think we have understood Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a Vedantic text, it is. Whole of 8th canto, if you look, you see there sometimes certain very interesting prayers. You may wonder, what is this prayer so much? I can show you some prayers in the same 8th canto. Continuously, he is mentioning there, it is in the Brahma's prayers to Krishna. All the demigods, that is in the 5th chapter. In the 8th canto, 5th chapter, if you look, there you will see there, Lord Brahma came with all the demigods, Devadas, and they are glorifying Krishna. And if you look there, you will see that verse, from 26 onwards, the prayer begins in the 5th chapter, Brahma Vacha, verse 26. And if you keep going there, all that prayers, if you look there, you will see that what is Brahma saying? What is Brahma saying there? He's not talking about any form there. He's simply speaking about the soul. That's all it is. But look at the way Brahma has spoken there about the soul. Avikriyam satyamanandam adhyam guhashayam nishkalam pradarkyam Manograyanam vachasa niruktam mamamahe deva varam varenyam vibhaschidam pranamanodhi altmanam artebdriya bhasamanidram avranam chayatabo yatranagradhravakshau tamaksharam gham triyugam brajamahe ajasya chakram tojayeryamanam manomayam panjadasharamashu trinabhi vidyuchalam ashtanemi yadaksham ukahu amurdam prabadhyem Ya ega varnam tamasa param dal alogam avyaktamananda param asan jagaroba supernamenam upasade yoga radhena dhiraha Nayasya kashadi didartimayam ya janomukhidi vedanartham tam narjid alma gunam paresham namama
ഭൂതേഷു സമം ചരന്തം ഇമേ വയം യൽപ്രിയൈവ തന്വാം സത്വേന സൃഷ്ടോ സൃഷ്ടാഭിരന്തരാവി ഗതിന്ന സൂക്ഷ്മാ കൃഷയശ്ച വിദ്മഹേ കുതോ അസുരാദ്യ ഇതര പ്രധാനാം. ഓൾ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ആർ അഡ്രസ്സിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ആസ് എ സോൾ പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ പ്യുവർലി ഓൺ ദി പരമാത്മ സ്റ്റേജ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഫ്രം ദെൻ ഓൺ യു വിൽ സീ ഓൾ ദ വേഴ്സസ് ends with the word prasidadam brahma mahavibhuti. Many verses after that you will see. Pado mahiyam surdeva yasya chaturvido yatrahi bhutasarga savai mahapurusham atmatantram prasidadam brahma mahavibhuti. Krishna's greatest vibhuti, that's what it is. Mahavibhuti. What is that mahavibhuti? Aham atma gudagesha, atma present in everyone. That is Krishna's greatest vibhuti. All other vibhuti are all dependent on this vibhuti. That's why it's the greatest vibhuti.
Ambastu yadredam udaravīryam siddhyanti jīvandyudavardhamānam lokāstrayo adhāgila lokabāla prasīdadam brahma mahā vibhuti. Somam manoyasya samāmanandi divauga samvaibhalamandhamāyu īśo nagānam prajana prajānam prasīdadam nasa mahā vibhuti. അഗ്നിർമുഖം യു ജാതവേദ ജാതക്രിയാകാണ്ട നിമിത്തജന്മ അന്തസമുദ്രേനുപജൻ സുധ്വാതോൻ പ്രസീദതാം സമഹാവിഭൂതി യചക്ഷുരാസീ തരണിർദേവയാനം ത്രയീമയോ ബ്രഹ്മണമേഷ ദിഷ്ണ്യം ദ്വാരം ച മുക്തേ അമൃതം ച മൃത്യു പ്രസീദതാം സമഹാവിഭൂതി പ്രാണാദഭൂയസ്യ ചരാചരാണാം പ്രാണസഹോബലമോജശ്ച വായു അന്വാസ്മ സമ്രാജം ഇവാനുഗാവയം പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി ശ്രോത്രാദിശോയസ്യ ഹൃദശ്ചഘാനി പ്രജ്ഞിരേഖം പുരുഷസ്യ നാഭ്യാഹ പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയാത്മാസു ശരീരകേദം പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി ബാലാമഹേന്ദ്ര ത്രിദിശാ പ്രസാദാം അന്യോർഗിരീശോ ദിഷണാദ് വിരിഞ്ചാം ഘേഭ്യശ്ച ചന്ദാം സുഷയോ മേഘ്രദക്ക പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി ശ്രീർവക്ഷസ പിതരാശ്ചായയാസൻ ധർമ്മസ്ഥനാദിത്തരപൃഷ്ഠദോഭൂത് ദൗര്യസ ശീർഷ്ണോപ്സരസോ വിഹാരാൻ പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി വിപ്രോമുഖം ബ്രഹ്മജയസ്യ ഗുഹ്യം രാജന്യമാസീത് ഭുജയോർബലം ച ഊർവോർബിഡോ ജ്വാംഘ്രിരവേഷദൂശൂദ്രൗ പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി ലോഭോധരാർ പ്രീതിരുപര്യഭൂദ്യുതിർ അസ്തപശവ്യസ്പർശേന കാമാഹ ഭ്രൂവോർയമാ പഷ്മഭവസ്തുകാല പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി ദ്രവ്യം വയക്കർമ്മഗുണാൻ വിശേഷം യദ് യോഗമായാവിഹിതാൻ വദന്തി യദ് ദുർവിഭാവ്യം പ്രബുദാഭാധം പ്രസീദതാം നസ മഹാവിഭൂതി. സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ends with that one line. What is that? Prasidadamnasa Mahavibhudi. Prasidadamnasa Mahavibhudi. That Vibhudi of Krishna, let that be pleased with me. Brahma is saying there. Prasidadamnasa Mahavibhudi. So, why like this, the prayers in the Bhagavatam? Reason is that these words, what Brahma has used, they are all from the famous mantras in the Vedam. In other words, simply by hearing them many times, it will have its impact. Simply by hearing. Even if we don't understand what the verses have spoken, the Bhagavatam verses, some of these prayers have got that potency. That simply by hearing those prayers, it will have its impact in the Chitta Vritti will stop. That's the greatest thing. In order that the famous prayers in the Bhagavatams, the goal is, to somehow or the other, the chitavritti must stop. Mind become standstill, shanti inside. Only in that state, spiritual realization can happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. A mind which is full of thought waves all the time, continuously appearing one after the other, that mind will straight away go to the spiritual knowledge also to take it on board. In this, like the way the chitavrittis happen. Whereas when the mind goes away, that's all these prayers are for. Prasidadamnasa Mahavibhuti. Krishna's Mahavibhuti is spoken again and again. That simply by hearing those words, Chittavritti comes down in a person. Chittavritti comes down in a person. Shanti comes to a person. That is why it's mentions like that.
Prasidadamasa Mahabhuti, Mahavibhuti. So here you can see that with these prayers in the Bhagavadam, many places like that, you will see when you study the Bhagavadam prayers seriously, that there is a reason behind those prayers are structured in such a way. It is that instance that our chitta vritti continuously completely stops and becomes much more favorable for hearing the message in the Bhagavadam. So, so at that time, when that chitta vritti has completely stopped, you will hear the experience of the soul from inside. Because there's constant chitta vritti inside, therefore it doesn't happen very easily. Nobody is going to come from outside and give it to us something on a plate. It's not going to happen. Spiritual life, we have all this misconception because that's what we are used to thinking like that, isn't it? Everything else I'm working and I'm getting it. So in spiritual life also, I'll do something, somebody is going to come and give it to me. No, nothing is going to give. Everything is already there inside. What will happen is it will clear up all that objects that was causing the experience, blocking the experience of the soul, Brahmanubhavam. So, for a moment, then we get that clarity or that state of where chittavritti completely stops. At that time, you will get an experience of the soul. So normally that's the idea behind all the satsangam also. That when you go away after the satsangam, you need to feel that you have bathed yourself in the water of the spirit, the water of the spirit. You should feel that when you come in, you come completely in the bodily concept, completely identifying with the body. But when you leave, at least you should feel that some change has happened. I'm not the same identification what you felt with the body and the mind. You should not feel that when you leave after the satsanga. A freshness, one has to experience that inside. That means that freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence and ego. So, and if somebody asks you a question, what did you understand? You have to say, I have not understood anything. Understanding is not the goal. This is the biggest misconception, that you have come for a satsangam to understand something. There's nothing to understand in spiritual life. It's not much to understand. So, in other words, you have to transcend that state of understanding business. Going beyond that understanding and come to the field of awareness. That's what has to happen in the satsangam. If you have not happened, if you have not experienced that, and you are still in the platform of understanding, that means that satsangam hasn't done much benefit. When chitta vritti all comes quietened down inside, because you can imagine, whole day and night we are busy with millions of other things. And then you are suddenly packed to your bags and come with a mind which is fully in a rajogunam and tamogunam and full of chitta vritti. After a while, hearing about Krishna, about the soul and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam in satsangam, if the chitta vritti has completely subdued, calmed down inside, and even if you have not understood anything, it doesn't matter, because understanding is not the purpose of satsangam. That you can do in the college and the university. Anybody can understand things. That's what they do there, isn't it? Through notes and the internet facility and seminars and through various processes. They want to get the thing for the student to understand. They make it easier for you, is it not? That's what they do in the university and college. Understanding. But that's not satsangam. Understanding is not satsangam. Understanding is in the college and university. Satsangam, what has to happen? If it is an effective satsangam, what has to happen is that after sitting and listening to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam, your chitta vritti has completely come down, and even though you have not understood anything, a certain amount of experience inside of the platform of the soul. That may vary to person, depending on that person's Shraddha. That's where it is, makes that judgment. That's what causes that. If Shraddha is in the world, then it will be very limited. If Shraddha is in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it will have its impact. It has to have. That's why it is like that. That is just the process I'm saying. It's no other process. This is the process. You see? When you don't give attention to these things and simply make it as a seminar, it's trying to understand with the mind and intelligence and notebooks and all other things, then it's not a spiritual process at all. It's completely a material process, that is. Very involved the mind. So, here you can see that when you come to the platform of awareness, that means you have transcended this platform of knowing through the mind and intelligence. You've gone beyond than that and you've come to the platform of awareness. It is only after that you'll come to the platform of awareness. So, how to move away from the platform of the mind? Because you go so used to this knowing things through mind and intelligence. When somebody says something that there is another plane beyond than that, most of the people find it difficult to take it on board. So, they'll go to sleep. They'll go to sleep at that time because they feel that there's nothing exists. Finished. I'm not able to understand, so I'll sleep. That's what will happen. So, this happens all the time. So, we have to be very clear that awareness and bodhamandalam, it is called bodhamandalam. So, bodhamandalam is beyond the manomandalam. Bodhamandalam is beyond the manomandalam. Manomandalam is the mental platform. Bodhamandalam is the platform of awareness. So, in awareness, if it is creating any impact in a person, that means it is having its effect on the person. So, in the... So, when we have gone beyond the mind and intelligence and you have come to that state of awareness, then it will not be like the chittavritti. When you are on a mental platform, it shakes everything inside. It creates disturbances. And in the platform of awareness, there cannot be any disturbances. It's a very cooling effect it is, that awareness. It brings shanti inside. That's the nature of awareness. Awareness brings shanti inside a person. And therefore, the same, once you come to that state, if you reach, get that experience, you'll come and you will stay there in that state. In that state. But when you go out again, you may lose it. That's another thing. But what, this is the nature I'm saying, the experience of this bodhamandalam. Unlike the manomandalam, a manomandalam means confusion, questions, and answers. All this is in the manomandalam. Once you have transcended that and come to bodhamandalam, there it is shanti. No questions at all. It's shanti state. And that yogam, what they call it as bhumika. Bhumika is the word they use for that. Bhumika. In jnanamargam and yogamargam and in the bhakti margam, there is certain bhumika. Bhumika means platforms exist in different levels. So, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, if you read Yoga Bhumika, he explains that in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Similarly, there is Jnana Bhumika. In Jnana Margam also there are bhumika, different bhumikas where you will experience that. So, once you have reached any of the bhumika, there are six or seven bhumikas in the Jnana Margam. Shubhecha is the first one, Suvicharana, Tanumanasi, Asampati, like that it goes. And each bhumika, something different happens. We'll discuss that later sometime. But Shubhecha is the first thing. Shubhecha. Shubhecha means that somehow or the other, you are able to come out of the mind. First step, you are able to come out of the mind and intelligence. And genuinely, the Shraddha has grown so good inside that your faith in the soul is very firmly established. You have no doubt anymore about the presence of the soul. People ask all sorts of questions. Where is the proof the soul exists? What answer can you give for that? So, they are still in the platform of the mind. That is the problem. So, Shubhecha is the first bhumika in the Jnana Marga. Once you come to that, you will notice that all other mind and body is not disturbing you anymore.
mind intelligence, body, all that is not significant anymore. When you look into all the great personalities' life, you will see this. They care little for the body, very little for the mind, and very little for the intelligence. All the time focused on the truth. At that point, you can say that the word Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, Vyavasaya Atmiya Buddhi, that has grown very strongly inside. That's why that Shraddha has come to him. That Shraddha has come to him. Up to that point, what will happen is you will look here, there to find the answer. Or sometimes you put your hand like this in the head and start thinking about it. There's nothing to think about spirit soul. Thinking itself is the biggest foolish thing about the soul. He said, oh, it's a problem solving thing it is. I have to solve the problem. I have to find the right equation. What gives me the answer? You know, like we do in the mathematics, isn't it? You start to put your hand like this and start thinking. You'll do all that till you get to this. Once you get to this, you won't do anything. You'll be very quiet. There won't be any more movement afterwards. So Patanjali calls it as that Alabdha Bhumika. That's how he calls it, that state, Yoga Margam. Yoga Shastram, it's called Alabdha Bhumika. Alabdha Bhumika. Alabdha Bhumika, why he says like that is, he hasn't reached there, he's not grounded. Once you have reached that state, you are grounded properly there. You are grounded in that. So he's not grounded where he has to be. That is why you are looking here, looking there. And referring this book, internet, Google, and then think about it. I really didn't get it, what Maharaj just said, or something like that, we will say. Something about somebody who has spoken something. And so most of Maharajas don't say anything. They keep it very simple. So then there is no problem. So she starts saying something, only problem starts, isn't it? So then people want to understand it, and then another problem comes from that. So these things are very important things in spiritual life, that you move away from the platform of the mind and intelligence, come to the platform of the soul. The quickly one can come to the platform of the soul, he will find it very easily. Spiritual life is not so difficult. Many subtle things spoken in the Bhagavatam, you will quickly absorb it without any difficulty. You will be accepted straight away without any further. So, therefore, Patanjali says, because he is not situated properly, he is not grounded properly, he calls it as Alabdha Bhumika. And it is equally applied to Jnana Margam also. It's not much, it's not different. And Salsangam, it's the same thing. So you can see Salsangam, sometimes people, when they don't understand, they'll sit in one place, then they'll get up and sit in another place sometime, and then somewhere else, and they'll get up, and then they will either fall asleep. And this way, different changes happens in a person because of this not able to ground himself in that spiritual platform. Gul satsangam, you will sit and you'll simply be absorbed. That is the perfect satsangam. That where you're not getting any more distracted. Distraction won't happen. Because you know what you want and you know what is important. That Shraddha has grown big enough that way. That's why it is spoken like that. So, Alabdha Bhumiya. So, while continuously hearing this Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, suddenly it will give you a spark inside at some point. And that is the time when you started really experiencing this message, Krishna's message. And getting that spark is called Bhumika Labdhi. Bhumika. Other one was called Alabdha Bhumika. This is called Bhumika Labdhi. Getting that Bhumika, that grounding in that state of experience. So, and then when does that come? When that comes, when Bhumika Labdhi, when that happens, in one moment you will see time and space doesn't matter to you anymore. You won't be affected by time and space. You won't look at the watch. You won't look at the... because all chitavrittis have stopped completely. Even the time will not disturb you. When time will not disturb you. When you land at that state. When you land in that state. And desham and kalam. Time and space won't have any impact. What else? Mind won't have any impact at that time. In that experience. Mind also won't have any impact. Intelligence won't have any impact at that time. Intelligence won't have any impact at that time. And Nothing else will, after having that experience, you will notice that memory and forgetfulness won't have any effect on that. Normal things, what we hear, either it goes into memory or we forget it, isn't it? That's how it is. But this experience, Bhumiya Labdhi, when it happens, it will not be something like memory or forgetfulness. It cannot touch that because it's coming in from the soul. Experience is right inside. You are directly experiencing the soul. Forgetfulness, memory, all these things have no impact at all anymore. Forgetfulness and memory doesn't have any impact. That's why when you study that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmradir jnanam apohanam cha vedescha sarver ahameva vedyo vedanda krit vedavideva chaham. That verse is a direct representation of this. Krishna is saying there what normally we have understood in a completely different way. We are thinking, oh, Krishna has put some memory chip inside my head, so memory is coming from Krishna. Krishna has put some forgetfulness, he has put some mechanism inside, so I am forgetting everything. That is not how it is happening. What is happening there is, Krishna is saying there, when you realize me, soul, properly, your identity with the soul becomes serious, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivesha, that presence of Krishna, awareness is grown in a person. That's what that line means. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivesha. Hridi is that place where aham asmi, where the awareness is coming from. That is hrit. In that hrit, when that awareness is grown big, matta, smriti, jnanam, apohanam, cha, all these four things, knowledge, forgetfulness and memory, all of them, vedescha sarve rahameva vedyo vedandakrut vedavideva chaham. Krishna is saying that they are there, but you have freed yourself from the influence of all that. These experiences of knowledge, forgetfulness and memory and all that is there in us because of the presence of the soul. Otherwise, those experiences are also not there. You are saying you remember something, and who is the person who is remembering? You say you have forgotten something. Who has forgotten? You have to ask that question, isn't it? But you are taking it for granted that, oh, I am something like a very solid thing going to be here forever to remember everything or to forget everything. It's not like that. That it is only due to His presence something you have forgotten. It's due to His presence something you are remembering. They are not independent. None of them are independent. Knowledge, forgetfulness or memory, none of them are independent from the awareness. Because of the presence of this awareness, they are all there. They are all there. So, coming back to this, beyond this memory, forgetfulness and knowledge, beyond time and space, beyond the mind, unaffected by the mind, unaffected by the intelligence. Unaffected by the intelligence means, what does that mean? Unaffected by intelligence means, intelligence makes you say, oh, I know that, I don't know that, isn't it? This is intelligence does that. If intelligence has captured it, you'll say, oh, I understood, I know that, you'll say. If it's not, you'll say, oh, I didn't know that, I didn't understand, you will say. So, knowing and not knowing is the function of that intelligence. And so, beyond the time and space, beyond the mind, beyond the influence of the intelligence, of knowing and not knowing, and beyond this forgetfulness and remembrance. Beyond the forgetfulness and remembrance, and beyond the false ego. False ego also cannot touch that. And that is the swarupam of the soul, the soul's identity. In other words, when that awareness, what we are discussing so far, when that happens in satsangam, when it happens, when the effect of time and space goes away, effect of the mind goes away, effect of the intelligence goes away, effect of the false ego goes away, effect of memory and forgetfulness also goes away, at that time what you experience, that is Purnam, that is perfection. That is the perfection. And that's how you say that is the experience of the soul. Only at that state you can say it is the experience of the soul. So, but normally what do we do? Because we are so used to the control of mind and intelligence, we easily get trapped in that. Is it not? We get easily trapped in that. So, this knowledge, sometimes we say, oh, I have forgotten my key. You will say like that. I've forgotten my key. Oh, I can't find my key. You will say that. It's wrong. Key is there. Wherever you have left it, it's there. You couldn't remember it. That's what has happened. Is it not? You couldn't remember it. So, the problem has happened here, not with the key. Key was there where I left it last time. But now I don't know where it is. I'm searching and searching. Thinking, where did I leave my key? And you see, somebody has taken it away and put it somewhere else, and all we say, no, key is left there itself. But what we do, we misunderstand it, that our knowledge and forgetfulness has acted strongly and you've forgotten it. That's what actually has happened. So, and Purnatvam, and there, words cannot explain that state. Words cannot explain. That's why it says, Mano Vachama Gocharam. Manasa Vacham. Vacham means words. It cannot. And only the nature of that is Shanti. Shanti is the nature of that realization. And it is a Nishchalatattvam. And it is a natural thing, Sahajam. And at that stage, you have reached that state, Bodhamandala. What we are talking about. Bodhamandalam. That means you have gone beyond the Manomandalam. You come to the platform of Bodhamandalam. So now you see what the difference is. In Manomandalam, that means in the field of the mind, the mental platform, you have got all these things. What? Time is there, space is there. Intelligence is there, mind is there, and also forgetfulness there, memory is there. Memory and forgetfulness both are there. Words are there. Words exist. Isn't it? You will explain things in a particular way, whatever you want to explain in the platform of the mind. Once you go beyond the mental faculty or the Manomandalam and come to the consciousness, Bodhamandalam, all these things disappears. What we have spoken. They all disappear. Time and space disappear, mind disappear, intelligence disappear, words disappear, and there is no effect of any of those things. That is the state. That is how you know that you had a spiritual experience. This is the way to know that. Sometimes we misunderstand spiritual experience in so many ways. Some people are very funny. They go and they will pray to Krishna something, some material things. Either let it be anything. And then they, if it happens, they think, I had the spiritual experience. I prayed and it happened, they say. There's nothing to do with that. Is due to his prarabdham, he got happened. That's all it is. And if prarabdham wasn't there to get through that, then it is not going to meant to happen. But in bhakti level, all these things people talk about it. But spiritual level is, should not be spoken in that. You should not cheapen it like this. Spiritual life has its own borderlines. You cross a certain border and you come to the spiritual platform. And that has to be, it has to be like that. And because this will stay, the other one won't stay. Today Krishna will give you something and you say, spiritually I am doing well. Tomorrow if Krishna doesn't give it to you, you will say, I am very poor now. What has happened now? You will say. So that means you are always linking everything in life with Krishna. In everything. Thinking that that is your surrendering. Actually you are not surrendering. You are doing business with Krishna all the time. That's what it is. Is it not? So in spiritual sense, proper spiritual level, there is a process that you go through this all the time, and surrender is important, there is no doubt about that, but surrender with knowledge, otherwise you can't surrender properly, it will be a false surrender. That's why these two things, self-enquiry, Atmavijaram, and Sharanagati, surrender, has to go simultaneously. Deeper the Atmavijaram, the self-enquiry, deeper will be the surrender. Deeper will be the surrender. You can see this in people who have gone deeper into the Atmavijaram side, they will be very deeply surrendered to the truth, surrendered to Krishna. Deeply surrendered to Krishna. Nothing will shake them. That is the proof of that. Nothing will disturb the inside. That deep surrender inside, that has come from deep reflection inside. From the deep reflection inside. So, Krishna is saying here, the moment that state comes, once you started getting that experience of that presence of Krishna's presence inside, that's what you are experiencing at that point. And that happens, that Ashtavakra Maharshi mentions this, he says, at some point, for a moment, you experience that, he says. And the darkness is gone, Krishna's mercy has started flowing, and the truth has started getting revealed to the person. If it is not like that, all these books and this time, it's all a waste of time. If it is not like that, it's all a waste of time. So, when that Krishna, Ashtavakra Maharshi's point is, when you get that experience, then you can close the book. You don't have to have the book. You don't have to study, keep on studying the book. This is not a university course. This is not a university course. It's direct experience of the soul inside. Direct experience of the soul inside. And either you can close the book or you can keep it open, doesn't matter, whatever you like. Because that is the point when you have started recognizing spiritual life properly. Recognition starts at that point. And you can, before that, you can study all the books and all the commentaries, Bhashyam, everything. But the moment your Shraddha has fallen onto the Vastu inside, into the Bodhamandalam, and at that time you will know that it is that Vastu, Bodham, in which your attention has fallen, your Shraddha has fallen, that Vastu is in everything. That's how that realization will be. It will be. And you will also know that whole creation is in that awareness. What you realize it at that time. The whole creation is within that awareness. That is what Krishna is saying there. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam. Matstani sarvabhudani nachaham teshu avasthida. See, that verse is a very difficult verse. Till all these experiences, realizations has happened, that verse won't make any sense. If you try to understand that verse with the mind and intelligence, you may get it wrong. You won't get it right. It can only be understood through realization, that verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 5. Nacha matstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram bhuta bhranja bhutasto mamatma bhuta bhavana nacha matstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram Buddha Bhranaja Buddhasto Mamatma Buddha Bhavana Nacha Matstani Bhutani Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram Buddha Bhranaja Buddhasto Mamatma Buddha Bhavana Buddha Bhavana. Let's read the translation. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, still myself is the very source of creation. Najamatstani Bhudani Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. Bhudabhranaja Bhudasto Mamatma Bhudabhavana. These two verses are pretty difficult till you keep on listening and hearing and absorbing in that. You will one day, it will make some sense to us. Anyway, Najamastani Bhutani Bhudabhranaja Bhudasto Mamatma Bhudabhavana. Najamastani Bhutani Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. So, in the last verse, we have seen, in the last verse, that is, Mayadadam idam sarvam, jagadavyatta murtinam, matsani sarvabhudani najaham teshu avastida. In that, on that, maya mamayaha parobhavaha tena tatam vyaptam sarvam idam jagad, avyakta murtina na vyakta murtihi surupam yasya mama saha aham avyakta murtiha tena maya avyakta murtina karana gojara surubena ityartaha. In other words, that I am expanded everywhere, Krishna is saying, and that is in a avyakta surupam. Avyakta surupam means my expansion in the form of creation. Krishna's expansion, this is. This creation is an expanded form of Krishna. Expanded form of Krishna. So, because I've expanded like this, everybody says that I am avyaktam. It's understandable, is it not? When we see Krishna as a person, then we say, oh, I know you, we say. But when he expands like this, like a universe, or millions of universes, how do we understand Krishna? So that's what he is saying here, avyaktam. Avyaktam it is. We don't know how this thing has come about. Therefore, they call me avyaktamurtina. Jagat avyaktamurtina. Why is he called avyaktamurtina? Because we, in our present state, in a body, we are in a body now. So, we are able to only relate with another body. This is our greatest difficulty. Only with another body you can connect now. Then you know, if I meet another person, I say, oh, I know you well. But if that person comes in the form of a big factory or in a big establishment, what will I say? I'll only know the name of the factory. What is going on inside the factory, I won't know. But it is the nature of this mind and the body. When you have a body, when you are identifying with a body, you can only relate with another body. This is a structural problem in us. That when you are identifying with a body, you can only relate with another body. You can't see anything beyond than that. So that's why then when it manifests like this, it is also Krishna. Everything is Krishna. But we don't agree with that because we don't see the Krishna taste. We are only seeing the person only. Yes, yes. If he comes, Krishna comes with the peacock feather and the yellow garment, and the forest flower, yellow garment and the garland of forest flowers and the flute in the hand. Yes, yes, I understand. This is Krishna. Bluish color is Krishna. But as soon as Krishna changes into this manifestation of the creation, we can't understand Krishna. There we are in trouble. Isn't it? So that's what it's saying here. Avyakta Murtina. This is Krishna's Avyakta Murti. This is. Vyakta Murti is the two-handed form standing in front of us in a deity form, or in a, when you see a picture, Krishna's picture, you say, yes, it's Krishna, we say. But we don't say, this is all Krishna. We never say that because we don't know, realize it like that. Whereas if somebody shows you a photo or a picture of Krishna or the deity, yes, you say, oh, that's Krishna there. We say like that. Why? Because in subtle level inside us, only a body is making some sense to identification with the body. Krishna is saying, because of that, what's happened is, when I come in this form of a creation, huge manifested form of universes and all that, millions of universes, we are not able to connect with that. Avyakta Murtina. Therefore, it is Avyakta. It is Avyakta Murtina. So, in other words, my Avyakta form, you cannot know through the senses. Form you can know through the senses, isn't it? which includes the mind, five senses and the mind together, you can establish Krishna in a particular way. You can say something is Krishna because the description of Krishna matches with that form what you are seeing. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you read Krishna has got a two-handed form with the flute in the hand and wearing a yellow pidambaram and is wearing a garland of flowers and he has got a peacock feather on his head and color is bluish and all the appearance what you have read from the Shastram. And constantly you are seeing that form and then it created an impression inside that is Krishna inside us. Afterwards, wherever you look, when you see that form anywhere, you will immediately accept it as Krishna. But when Krishna comes in a universe creation like this, you are not able to connect with that. You are saying that I don't know whether it's Krishna or not. How do I know who has created this? You say Krishna has created. So this situation, that is what it says here. Swarupam, what you can know through your senses. Through your senses. That you can understand. But avyaktam murtina, you can't understand through the senses. Senses won't help me to understand this creation. Senses will only give me this understanding. Krishna has got this form. Krishna is standing there in that picture now. Radharani is standing there in that picture with Krishna. And Krishna's form, as soon as I see that form, reminds me Krishna. But when I see the world, it's not reminding me Krishna. Is it not? When I see the picture, it reminds me Krishna. When I see the world, it doesn't remind me of Krishna. Why? Picture and name and form, you can relate with the senses. But a creation like this, senses can't help you there. Senses finish there. Senses can't do anything about it. Although Krishna is saying to us, that's also me. Krishna is saying, that's also me. It's not different from me. So that's why it's called Avyakta Murtina. Asmin, Mayi, Avyakta Murto Sthidani, Matstani, Sarvabhudani, Brahmadini, Stambha Paryandani. This Avyakta Murti means this unmanifested, which is not perceived, which is not experienced by the senses and the mind. It is in that form, Brahma, and from Brahma on, from Brahma right up to the grass. Right up to the grass. Grass means the lowest one in the creation. From the lowest creation, which is the grass, right up to Lord Brahma, who is on the topmost in the creation. All of them is existing in that. I am existing there in that creation. A Brahma Tranaparyandam. Bhagavatam uses the word. A Brahma Tranaparyandam. Brahma right up to the grass. Brahma Adini Samma Paryandani. All these living entities, right from the grass, right up to Lord Brahma, all of them is present in me in that avyakta form, in that avyakta murtina. That avyakta murtina, you have to understand it like this. All other living entities are present in that Krishna, in that avyakta murti form. Avyakta murti form. Nahi niralpagam kinjit bhudam vyavaharaya avakalpade ato matstani maya atmana atmavatvena sthidani ato mai sthidani iti uchyate. So, normally, when we do vyavaharam, vyavaharam means our dealings in this world, it's difficult for us to do anything without the Atma, soul present in there, in vyavaharam. Vyavaharam requires the soul. We are not conscious of that. That's another thing. But only due to the presence of the soul, every vyavaharam happens. This vyavaharam includes a lot of things. Vyavaharam means all our actions in this world is vyavaharam, one way or the other. So, suppose you remove the Atma from there, soul from there, Krishna is saying, vyavaharam cannot happen. So normally we will say, in these are all the subtleties of spiritual life. On one level we say, Vyavaharam I have to finish and do with it and stay on the spiritual platform. On the other level, in Vyavaharam, Krishna is required. Without Krishna's presence in the Vyavaharam, Vyavaharam won't happen. That's also there. Suppose you have to engage in any Vyavaharam, any transaction. Behind that there is the mind, there is the intelligence, there is the ego, and behind all that, Krishna is present. If Krishna is not there, mind, intelligence, ego won't be there. Similarly, on the other person also, with whom you are doing the Vyavaharam. So, in Vyavaharam also, Krishna is present there. Krishna is present there. So, when this realization comes, Krishna is saying that even in Vyavaharam, you will start seeing the presence of Krishna. Initially, we say we should reduce the Vyavaharam, isn't it? Why is that? Because in Vyavaharam, we are not able to see a spark of Krishna there. We find Vyavaharam is troublesome. And Vyavaharam is causing a lot of problem, causes a lot of chitavritti, and causes a lot of disturbances. Therefore, we avoid Vyavaharam initially. But when you make that realization, that when this verse is realized, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyaktam urthinam, even Vyavaharam becomes transcendental. It's not anymore mundane. Vyavaharam is not mundane anymore. Why? Because even while Vyavaharam is conducted, you are fully fixed on the truth, the awareness. You will see, without the awareness, Vyavaharam cannot also happen. You see, it is a state of one's spiritual position at that time. Great personalities, if you look into spiritually very advanced soul, for them Vyavaharam was not a problem anymore. We have problem with Vyavaharam. Why? Because there is ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, all that. Therefore, initially we have to keep it to the very minimum, Vyavaharam. But once the realization gets deeper, that this understanding of this verse, mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam, then even Vyavaharam will not cause any problem at that time. Vyavaharam will not, because you have moved away from that. Initially you did Vyavaharam through ragadvesham or through kartrutva bhoktrutvam. That's how Vyavaharam was conducted initially. But later on, when this realization comes, jagad avyakta murtinam, it is Krishna with whom I am doing Vyavaharam all the time. The other person with whom I am doing Vyavaharam is also Krishna. And inside the knowledge, awakening of that awareness inside has happened. Afterwards, Vyavaharam changes its nature. All realized souls do Vyavaharam in this world. Only you can see Prabhupada did so much Vyavaharam in this world, but did not disturb him, did it? It was not causing any problem. Why? Because Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyaktam urtinam. Krishna's presence in everything, either this way or that way, it doesn't matter. He did what he had to do and gone. That's all it is. Massani sarvabhudani nachaham tesho avasthita. So, realization in every Mahatmas, if you look, you will see this one nature, that they won't be frightened about Vyavaharam. In our level, we don't want Vyavaharam. It's a headache. It causes more. Why? Because our spiritually, we are not in that state that we can handle the Vyavaharam. So keep it to the minimum at that stage. Once they give the example like this, that when in the early days, generally they tie this elephant to a very strong tree, and then elephant cannot go away. You will tie the big chain to a very powerful strong tree. When the tree is very small, you have to put a fence around the tree, isn't it? So that the goats or the cows won't come and eat the leaves and kill the tree. So what you do normally, you put a fence around that tree, around the tree. Once the tree started growing, and after 25-30 years, the trunk has grown big, the body has grown big, and it's become, then it doesn't need any fence anymore. You can bring even an elephant and tie it to the tree, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. The elephant will stay there. So similarly, Vyavaharam, in the early days, one has to guard very well. In the beginning, one has to guard oneself. And till the point, but when self-realization has happened and one has come to the
platform of the soul, and he has come to understand that mayatadam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtinam, everything is Krishna's presence. Then you can't separate vyavaharam from the spiritual life. Vyavaharam has to become spiritual. Vyavaharam will still be there, but vyavaharam will become spiritual. It will become spiritual. If we conduct vyavaharam without proper understanding, vyavaharam will be full of raga dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, the results must come. And also there will be attachment, aversion for the results. All these things will be in the world of vyavaharam. But in the spiritual understanding, once he presents mayatadam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtinam, when that realization comes, those things won't be disturbing the person anymore. It won't disturb me anymore. Why Atmana? Atmatvena siddhani atho mai siddhani iti uchyate. Why? Because he is situated on the platform of the soul, not situated on the platform of the body. That's the reason behind it. So, and in that state, when it has come to that state, you can say, everything is present in me. Everything is present. That is that state Krishna is talking about. Matsani sarvabhutani nachaham teshu avastida. Because even in vyavaharam, you are not separating yourself from that. You are continuously able to do the vyavaharam, and at that time, even vyavaharam is happening in you, within you. You are not feeling any more of that separation between vyavaharam and you. You are so Krishna conscious, fully aware of the presence of the soul, and awareness have woken up to the full extent, that whatever vyavaharam is happening, it's all happening in you. In you. That's why Krishna is saying like that. It's all spoken from the platform of the soul. These verses, these two verses particularly. That's why you have to understand it only this way. Otherwise, it will all create problems. You won't get a proper answer to that explanation to that verse. It's not possible to understand. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matsani sarvabhudani nachaham teshu avastida. That when it comes to vyavaharam level, matsani sarvabhudani nachaham teshu avastida. It's all happening in me. When everything is happening, at the same time I am fully aware that I am not in anything. It's happening through me, but I am not in anything. That's what it is. Atma or the soul, due to his presence, all the vyavaharam is happening. Although vyavaharam is happening, vyavaharam is not touching the soul. That's what you have to remember. This vyavaharam, what's happening, is not touching the soul. Why? Because you have moved on to that bodhamandalam, not in the platform of the mind or intelligence. In the platform of mind and intelligence, you will have raga dvesham, attachment aversion. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. But once you have moved to bodhamandalam, from the manomandalam, you have moved to bodhamandalam, you will know that at that time, all transactions are happening in me. And transactions not disturbing me anymore. Vyavaharam has become spiritual. Vyavaharam has become spiritual at that time. Only in that state, when you conduct that, it will not create ragam or dvesham. It will not create raga dvesham in that state. Otherwise, I can't have day one, I'll be free from all ragadvesham. It won't be. My vyavaharam will also be. That is why often you will find that sometimes people take to spiritual life, and then what happens is that they engage in vyavaharam. They engage in vyavaharam. And in vyavaharam, they'll bring all their mundane thoughts and mundane understanding into vyavaharam. And they'll start judging every situation based on their mind and intelligence. And then they will create a lot of friends and enemies. If somebody is doing what you tell him to do, he is your friend. If somebody is not listening to you, then he is your enemy, it becomes. So, that is why this realization is an important realization. What Krishna is mentioning there. Even in your vyavaharam, to happen properly, Krishna says this realization must be there. Without that, if you do vyavaharam, you will see this all the time, you experience this, isn't it? People have taken to spread the message of Krishna. And we are supposed to be preaching Krishna consciousness. But but if our inside is full of all these raga dvesham and kartrutva boktrutvam, and in the mental platform, if you preach Krishna consciousness, there will be a war at the end. And that's what we have seen. Why it all happened in this way? How it all broken up everything. One goes one way, another one goes another way, third one says something else. And then the war starts. Because we have not reached that state yet. What can be done? Krishna is saying there that najamatsa that mayadanam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam matsani sarvabhudani najaham teshu avastida. That till you come to that, mayadanam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam, vyavaharam also is Krishna. That realization has to happen. Only then that vyavaharam will go smoothly. Therefore, many great personalities, they are very cautious while preaching to the world, general world. This preaching is like the missionaries doing. Missionaries, they don't look this side, that side, don't they? Get them in somehow. This approach, that's dangerous sometimes. And then what happens? It develops into war. One group doesn't like it. One group says it is necessary. And because somebody is feeling, maybe somebody doesn't feel. But in the strict sense, properly, if you want to elevate, that person doesn't get elevated in that process. Suppose I change my clothes, taken something else, it's not going to change anything. But if you understand that word, Krishna is saying there, mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam, that after realizing Krishna is present in everything, then there is no Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew and all that kind of things goes away. Is it not? There is nothing there after that. What's present there, he said, you are completely on the platform of the soul. There is no need to criticize somebody else or accept somebody else is wrong or right. All these things goes away at that stage. Jagad avyakta murtina. Because Krishna's presence in vyavaharam is important, your vyavaharam becomes perfect then. There is no ragadvesham then, kartratva boktratvam there, all these things goes away from there. That is the beauty of that verse. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. In vyavaharam, it becomes perfect. Even in our understanding, realization also, ahangaram has gone away completely from inside. Because ahangaram has gone away from inside, whatever that's happening is freedom from the mind, intelligence, false ego, and you are on a complete bodha mandalam. Everything is happening in the plane of consciousness, not in the plane of the mind anymore. In the plane of the mind means you will have trouble, no matter who it is. There will always be a disagreement, and there will always be confrontation, conflict between people. It's difficult to avoid. And when the people who are doing it, when they have not reached that stage, you will see that accordingly the whole thing will be so problem, isn't it? You know how it is, isn't it? When the problem is this, that we all dress up as though we are spiritual personalities, but very little has changed inside. The standard what Krishna is expecting from us hasn't happened. You see, preaching Krishna consciousness, in that level, what Krishna has spoken about, mayadatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtinam, if it's spoken in that level, it won't cause any conflict or confrontation anywhere. But when it is preached in the level of the mind and the body and the intelligence and with full of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer and with ragam dvesham, you can only expect war, nothing else. There will be a total war altogether, and one day one of them gets tired and then they leave and go. There's nothing has happened spiritually. There was no spiritual activity there. That's why it's so important. So nahi niralmagam kinjal bhudam vyavaharaya avakalpade ado matsthani maya almana. That's what he says here. Almana atmavatvena sthidani. Almana atmavatvena sthidani. You have to be fixed up in the platform of the soul. Only then
Ato mai sthani iti uchade. And that is what Krishna is saying, that matsthani. Matsthani means situated on the platform of the soul. Only in that state, if you do something, that will be perfect. There won't be any problems in that state if you execute any activity. Any activity. So that verse is a difficult verse because it implies so much. Mayadadam idam sarvam jagadav vyaktamurtina. Tesham bhutanam aham eva alma iti ataha teshu sthida iti muda buddhinam avabhasate ataha bravimi nacha aham teshu bhudeshu avasthidaha. Murtavar samshlesha bhavena akashasya api andaratamohi aham nahi asamsargi vastu kwajil adheya bhavena avasthidam bhavadi. Krishna is saying here that because I am the soul of everyone in all living entities, people are thinking that I am inside everybody. He says here, that means not a very intelligent thing, Krishna is saying. Because I am the soul of everything. Try to understand this. Krishna is saying, because I am the soul of everyone, generally what do you think? As soon as you see a body, you say, oh, Krishna is inside that body. Krishna is inside this body. Krishna is inside the body. Krishna says, no. Because, and they are saying, we also say, sthulam, gross objects. Gross objects, say for example, this stand and me, two gross objects. We touch each other like this. I'm touching each other. So people start thinking like that. And if I touch cold this, I'm touching this, isn't it? Krishna says, idi muda buddhinam avabhasate samshlesha bhavena akashasya abhi andara tamohi aham. But I am not like that, Krishna is saying. I don't need this physical touching with anything, any object. I don't have a physical contact with anything. Physically, I have no contact with anything. This is the beauty of the consciousness, Krishna is saying here. We have to understand what consciousness means. Consciousness means that I have no necessity for physically to be in touch with anything. These things, for example, in material life, we have to touch something physically, isn't it? Only then I say I have got in contact with this. Does that, Krishna is saying, because people are thinking that I am present in, Krishna is present in everybody, they are thinking that I am in touch with everyone. No, I am not. He is present in everyone, but I am not touch with anyone. You know what I am saying? That pure consciousness, that's what he is talking about. Oh. And I am even present in the sky, in the space. I am present there, but I am not touch with the space. I am not in touch with the space. And therefore, kojit adheya bhavena avasthidam bhavati. Therefore, one who is not in touch with any object, anything like the soul, there will be at no time you can say that there will be any influence of that other object into this object, alma. That is why there is no influence on the soul. Try to think of, look at this way. We say that all emotions what we get, anger, lust, greed, envy, all these things. We always say that it has nothing to do with the soul. Is it not? It is all a product of the mind. Product of the mind. So, how come the soul is not affected? The reason is this. It is present everywhere, but it is not in touch with anything. From this only, you have to understand that. That soul is pure, always. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Again and again repeating, asangam, asangam, asangam. No sangam. No connection with anything in this world. That's the beauty of the soul. And then, therefore, Sachidananda Rupavaham. He is Satta Chitta Anandam. That is the soul. Aham evaham avyayam. Otherwise, all the garbage what I have collected in my life, all the vasanas, all the anger, all my karmam, if everything goes to the soul, what chances it got to get out of it? You can understand that, isn't it? Nothing has gone in. All it is in the surface, in this cover of mind and intelligence and subtle body is playing all these problems. Nothing to do with the soul. So as soon as this self-realization happens, this vasanas, what has created, what creates karmam, karma vasana, and all the after effects of all that is instantaneously dropped. Instantaneously dropped as soon as that realization happens. Why is it dropped? Dropped in the sense, whatever vasanas that has gone, once it's gone away, even though the body may exist still, but we say even the vasanas have gone, karma vasana also goes away. Why do we say like that? The reason is, even if that vasana turns into karma, the person who has to experience that is not there anymore. You see that? Do you understand what I'm saying? That once self-realization happens in a person, you may see that he still have vasanas in him. Sometimes, in him the vasanas are there, but it is not in him, it's in the mind. So, due to the vasanas in the mind, he may act also sometimes, based on the vasanas. But the effect of that activity will not have any impact on him, because he has separated himself from the vasanas. Dehastobina dehasta vidvan sopnad yadotida adehastobina dehasta kumadi sopnadrig yatha. If you study that verse well, you will see Krishna is saying, one who is in the body and one who has left the body. The difference is not based on what you see outside. The difference is this. One person, he is in the body, but he is not in the body. Dehastobi na dehasta. What does that mean? It means that that person, he has, due to self-realization, he has lost his identity with the body and got his identity established with the soul. That is a dehastobi na dehasta. And example is vidvan sopnad yathothira. Just like when we were in the dream state, we thought it's all real while dreaming. As soon as you wake up in the morning, immediately you are able to leave it behind. Why? It was just a dream, you thought. So similarly, vidvan, a learned person who realized the soul, sopnad yathothira, for him, that waking up from the body to the awareness is like that. At the moment, I am in the body. But when I wake up to my awareness, it is like waking up from the dream to the vacant state. Normally, what we say, vacant dream state to the vacant state. So that's what that. The other person who is completely in identification with the body, what's going to happen to him? Adehastobina dehasa. He, soul has left the body. In other words, that consciousness which was present in that body is not there anymore. But still he is in the body. Why? Because the whole body is with him. He couldn't shed it away. Adehastovin dehasta. Kumati. Krishna says he is an idiot. Sopnadrikyatha. He is still in his dream. Still in his dream. So powerful is that. So Krishna says, Mayatatam idam sarvam. So here, therefore, when realization happens, self-realization happens, all these things happen. That means afterwards, sometimes realized souls also get angry. You know that. They also. It's not that once you're self-realized, you'll sit like a statue there. No. They also get angry. They also do various things in this world. But what is the difference? There is no kartrutvam, no bhoktrutvam, no ragam, no dvesham. Things happen through the body. According to the vasanas, whatever has brought it, it will happen. But vasanas are not anymore disturbing the, creating any ragadvesham inside. Any ragadvesham inside, and the person has moved away from the body to the spiritual platform. That sangam has gone, connection has gone, connection is broken with the vasanas and the mind. Vasanas and the mind. Atha, eva asamsargitvad mama. Because I have no sangam, asamsargam means no samsargam, no connection with anything, mama. Therefore, nacha matstani bhudani pashyame yogam aishwaryam bhuda brahma cha bhudasto mamatma bhudamavana. Nacha matstani bhudani brahmadini പശ്യമേ യോഗം യുക്തിം ഘടനം മേ മമ ഐശ്വരം ഈശ്വരസ്യ ഇമം ഐശ്വരം യോഗം ആത്മനോ യാഥാത്മ്യം ഇത്യർത്ഥഃ.
കൃഷ്ണൻ സേയിങ് ഈശ്വരീയം ഹി സേസ് പശ്യമേ യോഗം ഐശ്വരം. കൃഷ്ണ യൂസസ് ദ വേർഡ് ഐശ്വരം. ഐശ്വരം മീൻസ് ഈശ്വരീയം. ഈശ്വരീയം മീൻസ് സെർട്ടൻ nature of yoga state of Krishna. Krishna's yoga state. Yogam Aishwaram. Krishna. It's a peculiar yoga state Krishna is operating. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Uddhava, see that yogic way of my functioning, how I am functioning in a yoga state. What is that yoga state? Naja matsthani bhudhani pashyame yogam Aishwaram. That's one of my yoga yogic opulences. What is that? All these living entities, they are not in me. They are not in me. And see that, he says. Although all the consciousness in everyone is me. Is me. I am present in everything. But because I have this untouchable and unaffected nature, I don't get affected by anything. Asam sargigoyam. Asam sargitvad mama. Because of that, because I never get affected by anything, therefore Krishna is saying nacha matsthani bhudani pashyame yogam aishwaram. All these living entities, they are not in me. I am separate from that always. I am always separate from that. But if I am not there, all those living entities won't be there. So, in all living entities, Krishna is present, but Krishna is not present everywhere, anywhere. It's something which we have to accept it now like that, if it is not making any headway further, because it's something to be, as I said before, to be realized. There's nothing we can do about that. So, Krishna calls it as Yogam Aishwaram, Ishwariyam. Ishwariyam means it's a very, very specific characteristic of Krishna, of the soul. Bhuta Brahmaja Bhutastho Mamatma Bhuta Bhavana. And it is based on this logic, Krishna is saying, this logic, that I am present everywhere, but everybody is present in me, but I am not affected by anything. I am not affected by anything. Based on this logic only, all living entities have come to this creation. From Brahma right up to the grass, all living entities. And in other words, it is a specific yogic power, Krishna says, power of yoga that creates like this situation like this. That normally, suppose in our material life, if we develop any mechanism, there has to have a engine behind it, isn't it, to drive. Any mechanical arrangement, you have to have a motor, or a generator, or a diesel engine, or something like that to drive something, isn't it? In the way you want to drive. But this is a very different arrangement, this Krishna's drive system. Krishna's drive system is like this, that he is present in everything and things will happen. He doesn't have to, he has to do anything. And therefore, everybody is dependent on Krishna. On the other hand, Krishna is saying, although they are all dependent on me and only in my presence they can all function, at the same time, none of them can have any impact on me. It's a very interesting relationship, Krishna and the living entities. So, that is what it is. Naja matsthani bhudani brahmadi pashyame yogam yuktim gadanam me mama aishwaram ishwarasya imam aishwaram yogam almano yadhalvyam ityartaha. So, yathaja shruti asamsargagatvat asangam darshayati asango nahi sajjate. Upanishads also says, Brihadaranya Upanishad says, that yathaja shrutihi asamsargitvat asangam darshayati. This asamsargitvam means not coming into contact with anything, still things happening. Everything what Krishna wants happens, but Krishna doesn't have to come into contact with that. This is called that special state. Asamsargigatvad. Asamsargitvad asangam darshayadi. Because of that, you see this asangam, no connection with anything. Because of this. Because in my, nobody can see my presence in other living entities. But those living entities cannot function in my absence. They cannot function in my absence. On the other hand, therefore, all living entities are in me because of that. Because of my presence only they can function. Therefore, all living entities are in me. One level. Second thing, even though I am present in all living entities, due to that everything is happening, they have no effect on me under any circumstance because I am not in touch with them anytime. It's like I have touch with them. Krishna is not in touch with us anytime. That is called asamsargitvad. So it says asamsargitvad asangam darshayati. And because of that, Krishna is not in touch with us. We are feeling that Krishna is having asangam, no sangam with us. Iti darshayati Brihadaranyam, he says this. Brihadaranyam Upanishad makes that statement. And idam cha aashcharyam anyat pashya bhutaprat asanga. Api san bhutani bibharti naja bhutastha yathoktena nyayena darshitatvat bhutasthan upasatte. So, although Krishna is present in everyone as the soul, I have no attachment everywhere. And I don't touch them. I have no contact with anybody. And I have no attachment anywhere. That means there is no kartrutva bhoktrutva. No ragadvesham is created. But Krishna says, I control them all. Even though it is like this, everything is under my control. And so because Krishna mentioned before, I am not present in everybody. Bhudabran naja bhudastho mamalma bhudabhavana. Bhudabran naja bhudastho Mamalma. You will see in the Bhagavatam also this comes often, that normally in material life we say that things happen like that, isn't it? Spiritually we don't say like that. Spiritually what you say is that something is there, it manifests, prakasham. It doesn't get created, it gets prakasham. Prakasham means that it appears to us. It appears in front of us. Katham puna uchyate asau mama alma iti. Then how do you say that everything I am present in that? Everything I am present there. Vibhajya dehadi sanghadam tasmin ahangaram adhyaropya logabuddhim. Anusaran vyabhidishadi mama alma iti na puna almana alma anya iti lokavad ajanan. That's the answer to that. just like gross body and the senses. When we talk about gross body and the senses, we talk about them separately, isn't it? I got my body, I got my intelligence, I got my mind, and every sense I separate it out. Eyes, ears, nose, taste, touch, like that. Separately I speak about every sense. Every sense I spoke about. So that we say due to ego inside. Only when we have ahangaram inside, you can call this as my body and my mind, my intelligence, my ego, my senses. All this is due to false ego. Different way you have to see things. Always you have to keep the thing what we discussed before. That means in the morning when you wake up, first ahangaram comes. And only in the background of ahangaram, your mind has come. Only in the background of ahangaram and the mind, your body has come. Only in the background of ahangaram, mind and the body, your world has come. Is it not? It's all happened subsequently after that. So if you look into it, you can see there, ahangaram is behind everything. And then you are saying, my body, my eye, my nose, my ear, my tongue, my taste, my touch, my this, my that, and so many me, 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 my and mine. A lot of me and mine after that. Isn't it? So, what is the key element behind all these things is ahankaram. If false ego is not there, all other things does not exist. Isn't it? Only because in the morning when you wake up, the false ego wakes up, I wake up first, that ego. With the waking up of that I, all other things have come into existence. That is the important thing. So, and he says, Vibhajya Dehadi Sankhadam. This is called Dehadi Sankhadam. Sankhadam means bringing up all these things together. Which one? Mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, all activities in relationship with the senses, everything. And Ahangaram Adhyaropyam. Then when we say like that, who is speaking there? Ahangaram is speaking. Similarly, in Krishna's case, it's not Ahangaram, it is Atma speaking. That's the difference. When we speak things, separated everything, body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, separately we are talking about it. And behind all that, that I is strong. Ahangaram is very strong. So, Ahangaram is the pivot on which all these things are rotating around Ahangaram. Centered around the pivot is the Ahangaram. On that pivot, what do you say when you have something in the center on which other things are? Axis, yeah. Oh, it is the axis, you can say, yes. The axis. Ahangaram is the axis. All other things are, this is the, if Ahangaram is not there, all other things cannot function. Which one? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses. They are all there because of, this is the anchor point where it is connected with, or the axis, or which into which it is connected. So, similarly, Krishna is saying here that how much the Ahangaram is for an ordinary living entity is the pivot point on which it is working. Similarly, my pivot is Atma. Atma is me, the soul. Soul is the pivot, Krishna's pivot. In other words, Krishna says here that Mama Atma idi na puna Atmana Atma anya idi logavad ajanan. Not that the person with Ahangaram, false ego, he will say everything separately. He will separate everything. Break it up first. He will say my mind, my intelligence, my senses, my eye, my mind, my ears. Everything he will break it up. Krishna is saying, the soul, we don't break up like that. You can't break it up in the case of soul. And therefore, because it can't be broken up, Krishna is saying that Ahangaram Adhyaropya Loka Buddhi Manusaran. What it means is, due to Ahangaram Adhyaropam. Adhyaropam means this Adhyasam happens. Adhyasam happens. And Loka Buddhi, the mundane nature, materialistic nature, Anusaran, accordingly, they will talk like that, all separately. Vibhadishadi, he breaks them up. Mama Alma iti na punaha Almana Alma anya iti lokavad ajanan. Worldly people who are in that platform, they do not know, Krishna is saying, Mama Alma iti, that Alma is one, na Almana Alma anya, that Alma is not separate from the person. That means our awareness and the soul, they are not separated any time. Iti lokavad ajanan. People who are living in the mundane world, they are unaware of this. This is the spiritual nature Krishna is talking about. There's a big difference there. Ahangaram changes the nature of the knowledge also. When we have false ego inside, even the knowledge we acquire through the senses, through the mind, the nature of that knowledge will change according to the Ahangaram inside a person. I'm not talking about technology now. We are talking about what we grasp through the senses and the mind will vary from one person to another according to the Ahangaram in a person.
You can see this in so many different ways. If you analyze your worldly experiences, you will always see that it varies from person to person. Is it not? Worldly experiences. You just have to analyze yourself how some people get very easily influenced by the certain activities in this world. Some others are able to keep a little distance from that. It does not disturb them so much. One incident happened. It has two reactions from two different people. One person is disturbed very much, and it has not affected physically anyone, but on a mental level, two people are feeling in two different levels, the disturbances. You can see that in this world always happens, isn't it? Why does that happen? Because ahankaram is the cause behind that. Depending on the person's ahankaram, he will feel the disturbance. If the ahankaram is very high, false ego is very high, then the disturbance will be very high. If the ahankaram is very low, then the disturbance will also be very low. Krishna is saying, that is not the relationship between me and the world. Krishna and the world. Krishna is saying, because it's purely on the spiritual platform, where Krishna is present in everything, you have to see this in this particular way only. Otherwise, all these verses will be very difficult to realize it properly. We will keep on reading it, but won't make any sense to us. The way it explained like this, that the vibhajya dehadi sanghadam tasmin ahankaram adhyaropya logabuddhi manisaran. That means, logabuddhi means the worldly mind, worldly intelligence. That will dictate to you in one way, but that will be based on ahankaram adhyaropam. False ego and the superimposition of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Because of that, you will understand things in one way. But vyabhadishadi, and that normally what it does is, it will divide everything. Division will happen due to that. You can see that when there is ahankaram very strong, you try to split up everything. Split everything. That's why Vedantam find it very difficult to go along. They go in two different directions. The science goes in one direction, Vedantam goes in another opposite direction. Science is breaking up everything. That is the business of the science, isn't it? To break up and break up and break up as much as possible and go into the smallest thing. And whereas Vedantam is not breaking up, bringing it all together to one. All together to one point. Whereas in the science, they keep on breaking molecules, atoms and electrons, protons, neutrons like this. Goes into this finer and finer, and now what they call the boson or whatever, the new one has come. So they go in that way. Vedantam says, don't break up. Bring it together, bring it together, bring it together. Everything ends up in one thing only. It's only one thing exists. This breaking up is the nature of the Lokanusaran, what Krishna is saying there. Lokanusaran, that's a worldly nature. Whereas, Vyabhatishadi, it keeps breaking up. Mama Alma iti na punaha. Almana Alma anye iti Lokavad ajanan. That they will never be able to know, Krishna is saying. Lokavad, who are in the absorbed in this process of breaking up, they will never be able to know that na punaha Almana Alma anye. Nothing exists separated from the soul. Nahi Alma na punaha Almana Alma anye. Separated from the Alma. Nothing exists. This is the important message in this verse. Bhūta-brahmaja bhūtasto mamātmā bhūta-bhāvana. These verses are so important that Krishna is talking about bhakti now. You have to remember that. The key topic discussed in this chapter is bhakti, and this is the explanation to bhakti. Explanation to bhakti. Tathā Buddha bhavano buddhani bhavayadi ulpadayadi vadhayadi idiva buddha bhavana. Krishna says that na buddha bhavana. Krishna uses the word buddha bhavana there. Buddha bhavana, Krishna says, buddhani bhavayadi ulpadayadi vadhayadi idiva buddha bhavana. In other words, Krishna says, so many living entities are coming. This is how they come in this world. This is how they come out in this world. So many living entities are appearing in the creation, isn't it? So behind all that creation of these living entities, Krishna says, my presence is like this. This is how I am operating from behind. I am operating from the behind. Like the way Krishna has explained here. Yathoktena shlokadvayena uktam atartham drishtandena upadayan aha.
Now, what Krishna has spoken in these two verses, Krishna is going to talk about in the next few verses with examples.
With examples, Krishna is going to speak how that system works. So, before that, we'll have a short break.
Najamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabhranaja bhutastho mamalma bhutabhavanam.
That is the fifth verse.
Najamatstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram. Krishna is saying, see that Arjuna. Najamatstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram. See my yoga power. Saying to Arjuna. Najamatstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram. Bhutabhranaja bhutastho mamalma bhutabhavana.
Krishna says, Najamatstani bhutani. In other words, Krishna mentions before, all these living entities are in me. Earlier Krishna has mentioned that, isn't it? All living entities are in me. Previously, in the last verse.
Mayatadam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. Matsani sarvabhudani, he says.
Matsani sarvabhudani matsani. All living entities are in me. He has mentioned there in the last verse. In the fourth verse. Matsani sarvabhudani. And in the fifth verse, Krishna is saying, Naja matsani bhudani, he says. That if you inquire about it, none of them are in me. None of them are in me. None of them are in me. Najamatstani bhutani. In the last verse, in the last verse, Krishna is saying, Matstani sarvabhutani. And in this verse, Krishna is saying, Najamatstani bhutani. Exactly opposite. Isn't it? In the last verse, remember? Matstani sarvabhutani. Sarvabhutani matstani. And here it says, Najamatstani bhutani. So, if you inquire about that, none of them are in me. In other words, Krishna is saying. Just like we are seeing the cinema on the screen. That example. Cinema is on the screen. It goes on the screen. Where do you see the cinema? On the screen. On the screen, isn't it? But if you go and touch the screen, can you touch the person? You can't touch the person. Suppose you're watching the screen, cinema on the screen, so many things are going on in the screen when the cinema is going on. There's fire, there's rain, the rivers are flowing, there's battlefield, fighting, people are fighting, and there is marriage happening there, birthday parties, all these things are going on the screen. But if you go and touch the screen, you can't touch any of that, can you? You only touch the screen. You can't touch anything. Similarly, only you can touch the screen. In the screen, the river is flowing. Ganga is flowing in the screen. But can you bathe in Ganga? You can't bathe in the Ganga there, isn't it? All you can do is to go and touch the screen. That's all you can do. Similarly, Krishna is saying, this creation, this whole creation is in the soul. It's in the soul. It has happened in the soul. Similarly, but if you ask, is the soul there in the, is the creation in the soul in reality? It's not there. It's not, just like this example of the cinema and the screen. Why, what's happening that there? The cinema has managed to create all the impressions what it has to create in us. Isn't it? When you see the cinema. It creates that emotions what's necessary to give you that experience. Either a thrill or an excitement or a fear or any emotions on the screen the cinema was able to create. Is it not? When you see the cinema, that's what the cinema has done. It created emotions in you. Sometimes you will see people crying when something watch the cinema. They know it is not real. But they'll cry still. Or sometimes they laugh so much when they see the cinema. That shows that the impact of that cinema on the person, isn't it? If you're all seeing television, everybody is watching television. And what happens? Why we watch television? Why people watch television? Because of this only. They know it's only a screen, and behind that there's a lot of transistors and diodes and all kinds of things behind it, and manage to get this picture in somehow and create this feeling for you. That's all it's required. And probably that film was made a year ago, 2 years ago in the studios. Some actors got together and they made it and they presented you. But after seeing all that, you are affected by that, isn't it? That film affects, you are affected by that. And when you develop your own liking for some characters and dislike for some others in that, and you enjoy all these things, but in reality there is nothing there. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, first Krishna said in the last verse, matsani sarabhudani. In this verse Krishna is saying, Najamatsani Bhudani. This is the best, closest example you can give. In reality, if you ask that, is there creation in Krishna? No. It's no creation is Krishna. It's only a feeling it creates. It's a feeling that creates in us. Like that. You feel that it's there. It's there. Because when it taken this Namarupam, name and form, is only in our bodham, in our awareness, it's only a feeling like that it creates in our experience. In our experience, it's only a feeling that it creates. Najamatsani Bhudani. And saying that Krishna himself is feeling very amazed by that, this whole thing. He is amazed by that. That's why he uses the word Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram, he says. Look at this, Arjuna, how amazing this is. That's how he mentions. Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram means, look at this, Arjuna, how amazing this is, the whole thing. Krishna is saying this. And why he is saying like that? Because Krishna is talking about Maya. Because it's Maya. Maya is this world. It is projecting something in front of us, making us to believe it's all real, and it is creating its own impact in our awareness, some kind of experiences in us, isn't it? So look at this, Arjuna, how amazing this is. Talking about Maya. So here Krishna has used the word Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. That Yogam word refers to Maya. You have to know that. Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. Yeah, that word yoga is indicating Maya. It's Maya Krishna is referring to. But Krishna has used the word here, Yogam. Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. Actually, it is Pashyame Maya Aishwaram. Maya is that creating this experience in us. Because it's Maya who is doing this. Which one? In one verse, Krishna says, Matsani Sarabhudani. And in the next verse, Najamatsani Bhudani. Who is doing this? Maya is doing that. Maya's way. That is what these two verses are difficult. Till realization, it won't be experienced. Till we come out of Maya, you won't know this. Otherwise, it is a difficult statement. Najamatsani Bhudani and also he mentions Matsani Sarabhudani. Only in the last verse, if you look, you'll see Matsani Sarabhudani, he says. And the very next verse, Najamatsani Bhudani. What to do? That is how strong this Maya is. Krishna is acknowledging that. Maya is very powerful. Look at my Maya. That's how it is. Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram. He says, look at that Aishwaryam, Ishwariyada, that controlling nature of Maya. That's what Krishna is saying. Controlling nature of Maya. Only she can do that. And so, Maya, referring to, it is a Yoga Maya here. That's that Yoga Mitsa. Yoga Maishwara Mishra Mitsa, it's actually see Yoga Maya. And Krishna says here, first he said, Matsani Sarabhudani, the whole creation is in me. And Krishna is saying now that nothing is in me. Although they are in me, they are not in me. That is the beauty of Maya. So you have to remember while studying Bhagavad Gita, this concept of Maya, that has to be always in the background. Otherwise it's difficult. Vedantam is very much on a level of understanding this Maya's principle. You can see when Krishna spoke about Maya, how did he say that? Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. He mentioned that, isn't it? Previously. Mama Maya Durateya. My Maya is very difficult to get over, to get through. It's very difficult. Mama Maya Durateya. Why? It is, Krishna calls it as Devi Hesha Gunamayi. Devi Maya, it's called there. Because it's coming from Krishna. And it is a very difficult thing to fighting with her, you won't win. That's the first thing. Don't fight with her, you will lose. That's the first thing to learn. Only thing you can do is to surrender. Then she may let you go. She'll let you out from that. So, because why? Gunamayi. Because she is Gunamayi. Three Gunam. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. That's what she is made of. So, they will, if these three catches you, it is difficult to come out of that. They give the example that, like the mirage in the desert. So, if you, from here, when you look far away, there is water. When you go there is no water there. There is no water there. Similarly, you feel that this whole creation is in the soul. You feel that it's creation in the soul. But in reality, not. Krishna is saying, in reality, not. Similarly, body also. Equally important like the world, this body also, I'm thinking it is with me. But in reality, it is not. In reality, it is not. I know it is a very difficult thing to come out of all these things because we have, it's so deeply ingrained in us now that I am this body, it's my body, my body, my body. But in reality, it is not your body. Body is belong to material nature. She has given it to her, she will take it back at some point. When our Shraddha becomes very deeper and develops into Bhakti, at that stage, these statements will all make more sense. Otherwise, it's difficult. On a mind and intelligence, don't try to understand this. It won't be understood. It has to be realized only. So, similarly, body also, you feel as though you have got it. No, you haven't. It's only an appearance here. It's only an appearance here. And only in realization, this experience will be known to us. Only when you realize the self, this statement will be known to us, will be acceptable to us. We'll be able to accept that when we realize the self. So, therefore, at this point in time, kindly don't reject it or try to know about it. Try to know about this or reject it. It is not good because it is linked to realization. You see, I mentioned before, these two verses are connected with realizations. So, only when you are realized yourself, you will know these statements of Krishna is perfect. So, trying to reject that will be ignorance. It won't make any sense. That's why great acharyas, they have, when they commented, they make these statements very clear to us. They're saying to us, in your conditioned state, when you are under the grip of the body, and then reading these verses and trying to make sense out of it through mind and intelligence, you won't get very far. Only, Krishna is saying here, at this point, don't try to know it through it, try to know it through your mind and intelligence, and don't try to reject it. Don't try to reject it either, because that's also wrong, because it's Bhagavad Gita's words, Krishna's words. All you have to do is to hear and keep it there, like that. Just hear it and leave it there. And don't try to know it, what it is. You remember what I mentioned before? Knowing is no good till it come to anubhavam, anubhuti. It has no meaning, isn't it? So, just because Krishna is saying like this, from tomorrow you start up getting, tell everyone, look, I don't have a body anymore, to declare to the world, I don't have a body. No, there is no use, because you will see
ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthitam chandokyam says that that when realization happens what will happen is that mahantam vibhu atmanam natva sideva natna sideva shochati when you he says when ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthitam when you come to know the soul or when you realize the soul when you realize the self in other words at that point automatically you will get the separation from the body automatically you will get it ashariratvam ashariram sharireshu when anavasteshu avasthitam anavasteshu avasthitam and anavasteshu avasthitam means even though people outside may think that you have got a body you have got a body as far as you are concerned you have no body that stage that's what it is ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthitam that today you may think that but you have to accept what krishna is saying first for self realization that's the first step if your shraddha has grown big and you have accepted krishna's statements in the bhagavad gita which says that shariram is not in you body is not in you body is in the nature not in you but when you look through the senses and the mind you feel that the body is in you because you have made that identification with the body so ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthitam he says but outside people when realization happens krishna is saying that automatically you will know that the body is not in you body is not in you body is not mine that's what it means body is not mine remember three things I'm not this body body is not mine body is not meant for my enjoyment three things huh? This all goes with that dehinosmin yatha dehi verse otherwise that verse will not make any headway simply saying to others so dehinosmin yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara is no good enough you just have to experience that and that experience happens in these three levels I'm not this body body is not mine body is not meant for my enjoyment once this has happened to that understanding has come then connection with the body is broken connection with the body is broken and in that state krishna is saying here that once you have known ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthitam it's a statement from the upanishad that human you may ashariram you have become ashariram you have no body after that because it's gone away from inside but still for people outside they will see you are still inside the body they will see like that sharireshu mahandam vibhu atmanam atvashi dhiro na shochati such a person who is a dhira krishna also uses the word dhira there isn't it tada dehand dhirastatranu mukhyadi so that the word dhira means that dhira a person who is courageous or who is realized such a person he for him body doesn't exist in that verse dehinosmin yatha dehi verse tada dehandra praptir dhirastatranam ukhyadi he says now generally we will take it like this dehandra prapti means after leaving the body he does not get dhirastatranam ukhyadi he does not get illusioned by that isn't it but you have to see it like this that happens when self realization happens dhirastatranam ukhyadi Dehandra prapti means not death there. That's not Dehandra prapti. Dehandra prapti means when you lose your identity with the body. In that state, dhirastatrana mukhyati. Because once you lost your identity with the body, you have lost all illusion then, isn't it? Illusion is keeping this identification with the body. Maya. Maya in other words. So that is what Krishna is saying there mahandam vibhu almanam natva dhiro na shochati na shochati so outside people will think but as far as he is concerned there is no body he is concerned there is no body others may think that he has got a body but he is concerned he has no body there is a one great person he used to make fun of this and saying like this he says that every night
when he goes to bed, he puts his shoes on and he puts his hat on and he sleeps in a dormitory where there are so many other people are sleeping. All others, they take their clothes and change their night dresses and takes away. Nobody goes to sleep with the hat on and tie on and all that, isn't it? So 10 people are sleeping there. Everybody has taken out all their clothes and changed their simple clothes in the night. But this person sleeps with everything, with the shoes, socks, hats, everything, without taking out anything. So the person who was running that lodge or dormitory, he asked him, why do you sleep like this every night? With the shoes on, the tie on, hat on, everything. So he says to him, if I don't put this on in the night and go to bed, in the morning when I wake up, I don't know which is my body, because everybody looks the same to me then. He says, so to know which is my body, I put this on as a... That is how it will be. The state when it comes to that, you can't identify with your own body anymore. It's a very interesting state, isn't it? When you think about it. That your identification is lost with the body. So you can't see the body anymore as a something to be identified with. To be identified with. That situation will happen. So he says, otherwise I will not be able to identify which one my body is. This is joking about it, but confusion will go away, he says. Because for such people, they are saying that my body is not in me anymore. It's spoken in a different way. Speaking in a different way. So body is nothing but an appearance in me. It's just like a dress. It's an appearance in me. Pashyati anya shariravat, he says. Pashyati anya shariravat. In other words, when he, after realization, when he looks at his own body, he is not able to, when he says his own body, that body which he was identifying with, when he breaks that connection with the body, when he looks at other body, in others, he finds no difference with other body and his own old body. That's one and the same, equal. So, if it is like that, this is what the jnani we are talking about. Jnani is also, like everybody else, they will also doing the same thing in the world, like everybody else does. But connection is broken with the body. They will eat food, because they will feel hungry. They'll eat food. And when they are tired, they will go to sleep. Like everybody else, they will do things like that. According to Prarabdham, whatever that has to be done, they will do that. But how does that body functions in this world? Because a person who has realized the truth, for their body to operate, it does not require ajnanam. For us, you have to remember this, in order for us to operate in this world, you have to have some ajnanam inside, avidya, ignorance inside. That's what is making us running around M25 all the time. In a similar way, all our actions in this world is, what is the source behind it? Avidya inside, ajnanam, isn't it? Ajnanam. Ajnana means what? Based on the body. Doing things based on the body. Realized his soul doesn't have that problem. And for his body to function, ajnanam is not necessary. We have to remember this, that avidya or ajnanam is the driving force behind our this so-called life in this world. Isn't it? That's what forces us to go to work, forces us to do so many things in this world. And all based on that avidya inside. So deep-rooted it is. I have to look after my body. I have to look after my family. I have to look after this, that, so many commitments. And if I don't do this, who's going to pay the bills? You may ask all these questions. But that's another side of it. But in reality, it is avidya ajnanam causes the body to function. Body won't function otherwise. Avidya and ajnanam in the form of vasanas inside fructify and turns into karma. Turns into karma. But here, Jnani's case, what happens? Vasanas have all gone inside. Vasanas are not having any impact on him because vasana chayam, as it is called, has happened. So Jnani's case is Jnanam is notness, is not there, but Prarabdham is there. Prarabdham is there because when that body was given to him, a certain amount of Prarabdham was to get exhausted through that body. So that situation is now in him, and therefore body will function in this world. You have to remember also, even now our body is functioning because of Prarabdham. Prarabdham is what is going. And we are thinking that in our ignorance, we are thinking that we are doing everything, isn't it? We are doing everything, all karmam, we are thinking that we are doing. That is our ajnanam, avidya inside. But actually, strictly speaking, it is a prarabdham that we are forced to act in one way or the other. So you can see, I mentioned before, somnambulists who do things in the sleep. They get up, walk, they can walk long distance, and without getting hurt, they will come back and sleep again. And it is an amazing phenomenon, that is, isn't it? And they can do perfectly these things better than anybody else. There's a story that there was a row of houses, and one person crossed to the walls, all the houses, and went to the other end of the last house and did something in their garden and came back in the night while sleeping. In sleep, people do so many things like that. This somnambulism. So what I'm saying here is that the people who are doing the research work on that field, you know, the psychologists and all that, who do the research work, they are saying that even if they go on the road, they are not conscious of anything, but everything will happen perfectly. They won't break any rule. They'll be very safe while they walk through the road. Even if you, in your pure consciousness, even if you are full of conscious and full of aware of everything, and your mind and intelligence is fully active, with all that, when you walk, you may get into some problem. But for them, nothing will happen to them. They are so much protected at that time, because they can, they may walk, but they won't fall. They won't fall anything. And it seems that sometimes they go into the sea and go swim there in the sea, and they come back. And even when they fall, even if they fall, they won't know about it, that they have fallen and hurt somewhere. You know, when you fall and you get hurt, what is the powerful force behind it? Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the one which makes you feel that hurt and injury and everything. So there are so many things. So what it's all saying is that when they walk through from the Jnani's point of view, walking in the sleep, that's a kind of normally it's a disease, we call it, isn't it? It's like a disease that is walking through the sleep. But what it is indicating to us is that the body is not in a good state, or it's not protected because we are looking after the body. It's not because of that. It's a misunderstanding. I'm thinking that, because I'm doing everything properly, therefore the body is functioning because of that. That is not true. That's the point we have to understand from this somnambulist case. What it is, it's pointing to us that I have no control over this body. Okay, we will do so many things to look after the body in our regular life, isn't it? Even though you may do that, still sometimes things happen on which you have no control. And to be honest about that, no doctor, no person can give you an explanation for that. One person gets one disease, another person gets another disease. They are having the same diet. Having the same diet. they both are exercising properly. Now, if you ask the science, they will say to you, oh, because you have this vitamin, you didn't have that vitamin, you didn't have. Or if you ask the Ayurveda man, he will say, oh, you are a air person or a bile person or a mucus person and all that. But that strictly cannot justify that people are with a similar habits and similar lifestyle are getting different illnesses. One person die when he is 50. Another person lies when he is 90. One person stays healthy right up to death. Another person stays unhealthy for 20, 30 years before he leaves the body. All this we see every day, is it not? We see this every day. And one person loses his consciousness, in other words, his mind, very early. He's not able to do much after that. Another person is very alert and sharp for a long period of time till some people are like that, isn't it? They're able to stay alert and agile right through the life for a long period of time. So all these variations, if you look into the function of the body, you can see there is another factor which is not purely how you look after it is. It's not based on how you look after. You know what I'm saying? That not based on how you look after this body. So here, there is another force who is looking, controlling your body in a indirectly from another corner. Who is controlling this body? It is he who is controlling this body. That power which is coming from outside. And that is what is keeping this body going. But when we are not conscious of that power which is keeping this body going, which is Prakriti, what do we say? We say, oh, this person has been not very careful about his health. That's why he got so sick. He abused his body. Or he... And sometimes even after looking after the body, that person ends up in the hospital. There's nothing you can do about it. These things do happen, isn't it? So, that is what is going. So, in one way, we are 80% the somnambulists. And 20% only we are conscious about it. You can say on 20% on a conscious level, you are looking after the body. But 80% things are happening like in the case of a somnambulist. It's just happening. Something else is doing it through this body and it happens. But in our ignorance, due to identification with the body, we are thinking, oh, everything is under control. Nothing is under control. It's all happening in it through different agents. Material nature is controlling this body in different ways. So, if you look into our own life, you can see 80% of time, we are like these people who are walking in the sleep. You're walking in the sleep. And that's how we do things in this world. With this body, that power behind this Maya, or whichever way, Prakriti, whichever way you call it, that force who has brought this body into this world, and that force uses this body. What it intended to do with this body, it will do that. Prakriti or material nature or Maya, who has created this body, she will use this body and keep this body going as long as it's necessary and as long as it has to do the things what it intended to do first instance. That's how long the body will last. And the jnani, in the similar way, after this, his realizations, because he knows this very deeply inside, he knows this, he is always perfect because of that. Why? He knows very well that this body has been created, that is self-realization means that the body has been created by the material nature, and he is always conscious that this body is going on because from behind the nature is controlling it. And he is also conscious that one day when the nature has finished its utility of the body, use of the body, it will drop. He is so conscious and aware of this all the time. That is the jnani. That is the jnani. That is that state of realization. You see how separated they are from the body? We have to move like that. We have to come to that state. That is self-realization. Just by chanting words, Dehinosmin Yadadehe, it won't happen. All these things are part of that process of the self-realization. That more we move away from the body, you will notice that body is not a part of us. Body belongs to material nature. Material nature. sometimes with the realized souls, people will go and say to them, oh, how sad you have got this sickness. You got this body. They have already moved away from the body. And we go and tell them, well, you have been chanting Hare Krishna so many years, haven't you? You also got sick now. That's what they'll say to you. What do you answer them? So as far as they are concerned, chanting Hare Krishna was not getting sick. That's all, they are connected it together. But properly chanted and realized soul who has chanted Hare Krishna properly, with a proper understanding, and who has chanted properly, he won't connect the two things together. He knows very well that I am not chanting Hare Krishna to keep the body in the proper shape. Body is not mine even. What should I worry about that? Whatever has to happen to the body, it will happen. So when they asked this question, one day when Maharshi was asked this question, so they asked him, how come you got cancer? They said to him. He says, so he asked him, replied him, saying that, who told you that I have got sickness, I got cancer? He says to him. Now, if you say this to somebody, what will they say? He got cancer. Maharshi got cancer. And one of the devotees asked him that, I never thought you will get this cancer, he said to him. So Maharshi asked him, who says that I have got cancer? He says, you are seeing that I got cancer. You are seeing that the disease in my body. But I don't know anything about it, he says. When he had the cancer, body had the cancer. He says, I have nothing to do. You are seeing that and I got the cancer. But I am not seeing it like that. That was his reply. Because you are thinking that I got this illness in my body. But for me, there is no body itself. That is how he was in this world. Till the last moment, he always denied that he has got a body. It doesn't exist in the body. Because so much he has moved out of the body. Therefore, but does that mean that body did not create any problem for him? No, body did create the problem. It created a lot of problem. Lot of suffering also from the problem. But this conviction, realization inside, I am not this body, has had a big impact. Situation is different. When someone knows that he is not this body, realized in his brain and in mind everywhere, it's not his body. But still, bodily problems will be there. Bodily problems will be there. He said, when he got cancer, he said, I felt excruciating pain was there in the body. Was there in the body. But inside Shanti. Body pain was there, inside there is Shanti. So he mentioned, many people asked him, are you not feeling pain? He says, if 1,000 scorpions bites me, that kind of pain I have, he said, with the cancer. He was saying like this. It is similar to that. But then what he asked was, who is having the pain? Immediately he asked the question after saying that. But then he told them, you have to ask the question. There's no point in telling me that, oh, haven't you got pain? Haven't you got this? Haven't you got that? Yes, I agree. I've got the pain. But then you have to ask the question, who is having the pain? He said to him. So, because there is nobody there to bear that pain, he says. The person has gone who has to bear the pain. So, because in order to experience that pain, you need that ahankaram, false ego inside. Otherwise, you cannot experience pain and pleasure and all that. See, somebody praises you. You feel happy, isn't it? No, when you have done something very well and somebody says, oh, you have done well. You have done very good. So, who is feeling happy? Ahankaram is feeling happy. The false ego, isn't it?
That's what feels happy. Similarly, somebody criticizes you or gives you a hard time. Who feels insulted or upset? Ahangaram gets insulted. If that ahangaram is completely gone, then what will happen? Then whether you praise somebody or insult somebody, it won't have any effect on the person. So long as the ahangaram is inside, all the experiences also will be there. That's why they say vasanakshayam or ahangarakshayam means ahangaram goes away, then you are not there anymore. It's only subject to the laws of the world. So similarly, he says here, body feels the pain, and similarly miseries of the world also. You'll experience all the miseries of the world. So it was in Marshi's case, the one incident happened. There is a famous medical college hospital, Christian Missionary Hospital in Velour near Chennai. It's been there for a long time, and there are big facilities there. It's a big hospital there. And it's one of the top hospitals in India for a long period of time. Very highly qualified doctors and specialists and all there. And this place, Velour, happens to be close to Thiruvannamalai, where Maharshi was living at that time. So, one devotee managed to, when Maharshi sick with this cancer and all that, on those days there were not so many hospitals like now. Now, every street you turn, there's a hospital there. And there's a super speciality hospital board they have kept there. If you go and look there, super speciality hospital. And they have taken all the best words from the English language to express the type of hospital what they have got. And you may start thinking, oh, what a good facility. In then days, none of these hospitals were there. There was only this Velour Medical College Hospital. And there were only few big hospitals in the big cities. In the smaller villages and towns, practically there was nothing. So, but now if you go everywhere, there is big hospitals. In small towns even, because it's become which means that there are more people more sick than any time before. And more treatment. And it's a complete business. All you can see how they, it's like a big industry running. And somehow or the other, people, they have moved away from the spiritual culture and moved to this bodily culture so strongly that they feel the need of this hospital everywhere. And accordingly, doctors also with so many qualifications and so many equipments, and unbelievable the amount of money that's going into that industry now. Healthcare industry, or they call it, or the health tourism, they call it. Because they knew that it's a big industry. It's got a big market for that, isn't it? So, it's grown big anyway. So, Velour, this doctor came. Somebody felt that because it's closer, we'll get a specialist from Velour to look at him. He said, and he came, the doctor came. So, when doctor came, Maharshi smiled at him. So, he says to him, I can't understand, he says. The doctor says, with such an illness in the body, you are so peaceful about it. He says to the Maharshi. So he is looking at Maharshi just like he is looking at a patient. Like a doctor will look at the patient. He started, cancer was in the hand. And he started treating the hand. And then he says to Maharshi that we have to move you to the hospital. Straight away. We have to take you to the hospital. So first day itself, after diagnosis, he says to him, this cannot be treated here, he says. To go to the hospital. He was doing his job properly. Because that's what he knows, isn't it? Doctor. He's a doctor. And that's what he knows. So after all this, diagnosis were over. And before the doctor was leaving, Maharshi smiled, and then he wrote about this later. He says like this, doctor says about this experience what he had. He said, when Maharshi smiled, doctor says, I thought I am the patient and he is the doctor. He said, felt like that, it seems. Sometimes it happens that way. You know, Patient has no problem. Doctor is trying to inject this idea into him that you are very sick. You need this. You need that. And patient is not disturbed because he has moved away from the body. That's what he's saying there. Memories, if you read, you will see this story. He says, the doctor is saying, that doctor later on became a devotee. And he, of course, after a while, they also get tired of this, isn't it? Looking after this body and treating this body. How long can you keep doing this? But they also know that they don't know what this body is all about. They also don't know. Many things they don't know. They just, we have this, all these big hospitals and this thing, that thing. So many experiments going on and they are trying on the mice, the monkeys and everything and thinking that that is the solution to all the problems. Nobody understands this body. Nobody understands this body. So he mentions like this, he says that that I felt that I am the sick person. So Maharshi says that I had a lot of diseases and a lot of distress also in my life, but none of them has, he has come to the state, it won't have any effect on the person. So, and doctor didn't know about the Maharshi very much. He was just brought in by somebody and he came there. So next day he came with the family and paid obeisances to the Maharshi with the family. He did that and sat down next to him. This happened in many people's, the great personalities' life, I'm saying. This has happened. This similar incidents have happened. In this Ramakrishna, Vivekananda's teacher, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he had a similar situation like this. There was one, if you read his books, Vivekananda Sutras, you'll find there. There was one Dr. Sarkar, a famous doctor in Calcutta at that time, Dr. Sarkar. This Dr. Sarkar told Ramakrishna Paramahamsa that you have got throat cancer. You got throat cancer. And you should not speak to anybody. You can only speak to me what is necessary, he says to him. You can speak to me what is necessary. Otherwise, you should not speak to anyone. Anyone. And only to me you can speak to him. So, but he has moved away from the body, that although he had the body, he was in a state, he has no body. Dehastovina dehasta. That state has come to him. And that state actually everybody has that state. Only thing is, we have to look to ourselves. Sometimes you can experience this also. But it happens sometimes to people, ordinary people also, that they have the body, but they are not in the body. They are not identifying with the body. It depends. Depends on a person's spiritual position. Some people get too disturbed, little things over the body, isn't it? There are many others who don't. Sometimes you can see people who are doing a lot of hard work physically also. After a lot of time working in that way, they have come to a stage that body will do the thing on its own and they are separated from the body. They are separated from the body. Forget about Paramahamsa and Maharshi and all that. Many people, when they get, there are people, when they get very serious illnesses, they will just ignore it and they will say, let it happen, its own. Let it happen, its own. What is there in it at the end? It's meant to go. It's meant to go. I've seen this happening. You also may have seen this, some people. Because after a while, inside you, we get that message from inside, from the soul, that this body is not the final thing. We'll get that one day. Say you've gone through a lot of treatment and you've gone through a lot of experiences in life and nothing is changing. In a state like that, you will get a hint from inside, don't worry about this body. It's not worthwhile worrying about it. So there are people like that. What does it show? That soul is not the ownership of the soul, is not only for Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or for Vivekananda or for Ramana Maharshi. It's not only that they have got the thing called the soul, or for Shankaracharya or for anybody for that matter. That is why Krishna mentions in the Bhagavadam, Ashwa Chandala Ghokaram, isn't it? Why does he say like that? Remember, Visarjya Svayamanan Svan Drisham Ridam Ja Dehigim. Remember, Ekadasha Skandam, Praname Dandavad Bhumav Ashva Chandala Ghokharam. He says. So, this body, we have got a body, Shankaracharya has got a body, Ramakrishna has got a body, Vivekananda has a body, Ramana Maharshi has a body. Body is the same. It's not different. It's not different. They all have the body. But, and they also have, we also have the same knowledge that this body is not mine. The body is not mine. So, in other words, this knowledge is not to be attained, is not an unnatural thing, artificial thing. It's not an artificial thing, attainment. Knowledge is natural in everybody. You will see this in different degrees in different people. Sometimes, because we live in a society with so many complicated arrangements, with hospitals and treatment and all that, and we feel so much identification with all this, when we see that this doesn't exist in many other places, we call them, they are not developed and they don't have the facilities like we have, and we push them to become like us, isn't it? But when you see sometimes, see they bring these films in the BBC, they bring sometimes from the Amazon forest, some of the tribes there. Even in Africa, certain tribes, when they bring them, think about their healthcare problem. And have they got NHS? What healthcare have they got? And you will see their people living there, and with all the problems, they don't have proper clothing, proper housing, diet is concerned, they are not bothered. What is available, they get it, they eat it. And they live there still. And if we are thinking that, oh, they are not living like us, so therefore there is something wrong with them. But as far as this situation, that I don't have a body, you will find in them, they are much more deeper understanding of that. Bodies. Why? Because constantly they are experiencing in this world the disturbances of the body. And they are able to disconnect with the body easily than us. We are in a more serious trouble. Because this is all what we know. How to keep this body going. This is all what we have learned. And therefore we are in a serious problem. That every little thing, tablets, capsules and tonics and everything is there already. And in nowhere in the world you see people getting so concerned when an NHS is in trouble. There are so many places where there is no NHS. And still people are living there, are they not? And they are going on with that. So, but why are we getting disturbed so much about it? Because this problem that we have started realizing that that body is the, me, I'm the body, body is mine, looking after body is my whole purpose in life. I have taken this, Sayalpiya Buddhi has gone in that way. Instead of self-realization, Krishna says you have to make the decision. Our decision is you have to look after the body. That's the first decision we have made. Therefore, this that is why Krishna says here, we know that everybody knows that the body will go one day, isn't it? Very healthy person and the most unhealthy person, both of them know that the body is going to go one day. There's no change from that. So, you can see this also when you see the children, this impact on them. Krishna is saying in the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, that all living entities, the whole creation is in me. Matstani Bhutani, he says, isn't it? And then he says, Matstani Sarvabhutani, he said in the previous words, and here he says, Naja Matstani Bhutani. Two things he has said there, like that. So, if you look at the children, you will understand this easily. If you look at the small children, if you, very small children, if you look at them, and if you think, are they in this world? If you ask that question, actually, they are concerned the body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. It is like, that's why when small children, if you don't put the dress on them, they're not bothered about it. Why is that? Bodily identification hasn't come to them yet. They will walk very open without any clothes on, isn't it? And then we inject into them, you need to have clothes. You need to have all these things, otherwise it's not proper. You have to dress properly. And we build up that ahankaram inside over a period of time. over a period of time. And they are not bothered also what dress if you put on. Whatever dress you put on, they will be okay. Because you put it on, they take it like that, isn't it? Later on, we will tell them that, look, oh, your dress should be proper, it should be clean, it should be ironed, and it should suit you. And we teach them how to look into the mirror and to make sure that the dress is fitting properly and all these kind of things. We inject this bodily identity into them. Otherwise, they won't know about it. And similarly, little by little, we tell them it's your hand, it's your leg, it's your head and everything. So, that is how, by practicing only, they come to this identification, abhimanam. Abhimanam, they come to that. Very small when they are very, very small, they don't use their eyes even. Isn't it? Have you noticed that? When they are very small children. So the mother knows, first keeps an eye on the children's eyes, isn't it? Has he started recognizing things before the child start recognizing? And then sometimes you will see the mother, they try different colors of balloons in front of the child. So that when the child cries, she will show these balloons to the child, so the child doesn't stop crying. So initially the child doesn't know the different colors and all that. The colors have no impact. But when the child starts recognizing the colors, different colors, mother feels happy. Mother starts thinking, I can use this more now to control the child's life in that way. So at that stage you can see when the child, if you look into the child very carefully, when it's a small baby, it's not seeing anything. What we call as Chaitanya Spurti. Spurti means the soul inside starts functioning through the mind and the senses. It hasn't happened yet. So if that is how a realized soul is, which we were discussing a little while ago, that in the realized soul also, the Chaitanya Spurti has gone. In the child also, it's the same thing. The child, when it looks, you don't know where he is looking. You have to make the sound and bring somehow the attention to the sound or attention to a particular object. Only then the child will look at it. Otherwise, if you hang up different things, child won't look at anything. He will just lie like this. Why? At that point, the living force, the soul, has not started working through the mind and the senses yet. It is still very much in that state where senses and the mind and everything is separate from the that. Connection has not happened, link hasn't happened yet. Similarly, you can see here that the as long as that child's nature is like that, he is in a self-realized state. In other words, he is not identifying with the body. He is not, nothing is disturbing him in that way. Identification. Therefore, he looks very beautiful. The child looks beautiful. And that beauty is not due to identification with the body. Rather, it is due to the separation from the body. You notice in the small children how beautiful they look, isn't it? Everybody feels a feeling, an attachment for that child, isn't it? When you see that child's nature, purity in the face of the child, a freshness and a kind of a glow. When we look at our face, what happens? We turn the mirror like this. We don't want to look at it, isn't it? All grey hair, beard, miseries everywhere, all distress, everything on the face. So, whereas the child doesn't have anything like that. Totally looking very fresh and very beautiful all the time. Why is it like that? Because karana shariram, sushma shariram, the causal body and the subtle body, function hasn't started, because in order that to function, the senses, knowledge acquiring senses of knowledge and senses of action, none of them have been energized yet. Only when it's energized, all these problems start. That means identification hasn't started yet. So, the beauty of that child is due to staying away from the body. That's what that beauty, what you find in the child at that time. When you look at the child, You see that beauty in the child? It's due to staying away from the body. Staying away from the body. So, because body cannot become beautiful. Body cannot become beautiful. You will, if you look at certain bodies, you will see how the body changes. Like you can see a girl, 7-8 years old, when she grows about 14-15, it develops a natural beauty inside, isn't it? Now, body, it is not just the beauty of the body that is causing that. There is something that the soul inside is changing the whole appearance to the world in such a way the girl becomes beautiful at that time and stays in that stage for some time. It is a natural arrangement. That is what I'm saying, that the beauty of the body is actually not the beauty of the body. Body is, after all, what is body? The five material elements, isn't it? And in different way packaged. But the soul knows at what stage what to bring it out through that body, what to express to the world through that body. So if you look in, this is why I'm saying all this thing is, if you look at realized souls, very realized souls, great, great personalities, if you look at them, they are not very beautiful to look at. If you look with your eyes, if you look at them, they are not very, their features are not very beautiful, and their body, they have not even cared to look after the body, different illnesses in the body. And overall, in our estimate or our analysis, they are not very beautiful people. But people are attracted to them. Why? People are attracted to them, isn't it? So that is why it is not the beauty of the body that people are attracted to. It's not the beauty of the body, but rather due to staying away from the body. Just like in the case of children, when they stay away from the body, we are attracted to the children. Isn't it? In both cases, in the case of children and in the case of realized souls, both, it is due to being staying away from the body that they look beautiful. Both as a child. Children have no knowledge as such, isn't it? They are just living in this world. But because they are not connected with the body, there is an attraction in that body of the child when you look at them. And that attraction is due to, not due to the material body itself, but being separated from the, they are not in the body yet. In other words, they are not in the body yet. They are staying away from the body. Slowly we bring them into the body and then we make them like us and then we feel happy. Isn't it? So that's what happens there. In the case of realized souls, their body looks awful. Many of them, every one of them, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or even Nora, Ramana Maharshi and many others, when they were very ill, even Prabhupada also, when they were very ill, close to few years before death, the body has already started going. There was nothing there in the body to look at, too beautiful to say. But because they have stayed out of the body, they look beautiful at that time. We get attracted to that. That attraction is due to they being separate from the body. Many devotees used to say that. At that time, when Prabhupada was also very ill, he was very beautiful. Beautiful in the sense that he was least disturbed of what was happening in the body. It was not affecting him. And he was able to translate, speak to people, able to talk about the Krishna consciousness strongly without having any effect at all what was going on in the body. And that looked beautiful. To talk about Krishna consciousness, even you will see videos on the YouTube also, Prabhupada lying on the deathbed, leaving the body, translating the 10th canto, 12th or 13th chapter, still translating that. And they were recording it, thinking that as much as possible, they could print it out into the Bhagavadam. So many of the 10th canto chapters, Krishna book was written before, but many of the last chapters, I think up to 13th chapter, Prabhupada has done on the practically on the deathbed. Practically on the deathbed. Because he was ill, 1977 he left. But practically end of 76 he was ill. And then he had to travel here, there, everywhere, a few places he traveled before he came back to Vrindavanam. But practically he was very ill most of the time. But translation went on with that. Why? Staying out of the body. Staying out of the body. Was not, visitors were coming, he was talking to them. And everybody, disciples were feeling that, oh, he is suffering heavily because of the illness and all that. And bringing this doctor, this hospital, that hospital. They were thinking that we have to do, disciples naturally will think like that, isn't it? Because they are not in that state. But not knowing that, he was not in the body. He was living separated from the body. Therefore, bodily discomforts, bodily illnesses and all did not disturb that state. So, it is not the, what I'm saying is, it's not the beauty of the body that was the reason behind it. It's not the beauty of the body. It is that separation from the body that makes that person beautiful. Separation from the body, not the beauty of the body. When you separate yourself from the body, then people get attracted to you. When you separate yourself from the body. Otherwise, an old person, who wants to look at? Is it not? Who wants to look at an old person? Everyone will see that as much as possible stay away. People are attracted only when they are young. Is it not? Old people, nobody is attracted to look at the old person. Everybody just does it as a matter of duty or whatever it is. But you can see this when you see the children. That all the symptoms of liberated souls while living Jivan Mukta state, that you can see from the children. From the children you can learn the state of liberated state while living in the body. That's called Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti means living in this world in the liberated state within the body. So anything that is natural can be corrupted. Anything natural can be corrupted. But anything that is conscious cannot be corrupted. That is the principle. Anything that is natural, which has come from the nature, material nature, that can be corrupted. We can corrupt it. Anything that has come from the consciousness, that cannot be corrupted. Again, nasade vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayorave drishtvandam stanayor tattu darshibi. That same principle. Because body has come from the nature, this can be corrupted. It will get corrupted one day. Krishna consciousness comes from the soul. That cannot be corrupted. That is its own beauty. And that's what attracts people. Not the body anymore. Anything that is natural can be corrupted. Anything that is conscious can never be corrupted. So, children have naturally this beauty in them. This beauty they have naturally inside them. For us, we have to get that beauty consciously. Consciously we have to get it. So, so because children has got it in a natural way, what happens? That they know that that is the truth. Children know that. That's because naturally they have got it. You see, they know connection with the body. So therefore they have that beauty in them. For us, we have to get it forcefully. We have to come to that with all the efforts. So, it is 5:30, I think. We'll stop there. Continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.